From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening and or good morning wherever you may be across this great land of ours and beyond. For example, the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains, exotically located in the Pacific and west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, where holy hell is breaking loose tonight, south into South America, north all the way to the pole. This is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning, everybody. Open lines all night long. It's all yours. There is going to be but one caveat, and that is my first-time caller line. And actually, I guess I'll take them on any line, but we'll exclusively devote the first-time caller line to any members out there, and there's a lot of out there, of a secret society. That's right. People have been urging me to do a show on various secret societies, and I thought, why limit oneself to one secret society? You know, who knows? There's probably all kinds of really secret societies because we don't know about them because they're secret, right? So, along with the rather well-known secret societies, we are going to limit that line, area code 702-727-1222, to anybody who wants to tell us about your secret society. Now, I just wonder what we'll get. I have no idea. It's open to anybody in any secret society. I don't want to say anybody who knows about secret societies but is not a part of one, because we all have our suspicions, right? But what do we know? So you've got to be a member of a secret society willing to at least tell us something about your society. I mean, surely you have a handshake, a wink, a secret sign of some sort. You have ceremonies. You have, well, who knows what you have, because it's secret, right? And for years and years and years, people have been talking about these various secret societies. And I don't have to list them here for you. You've heard it on talk radio for as long as there's been talk radio.
Well, Art, the Masons did it. You know they did. You know what they do.
They are but one. They're not, well, they're a little secret. So, we're devoting tonight's program on that line to members of secret societies who would like, well, if you want to blow the whistle, or maybe disenfranchised members of secret societies who are still alive. I mean, some of them, of course, probably aren't still alive. They blew the whistle and they were liquidated by the society. I mean, once you take the oath, you can't go blabbing publicly, right? And if you do, why, you're with Jimmy Hoffa somewhere. So, we're going to do that. Otherwise, let us take a quick look at the news, and there is some. Hurricane Jose is ripping roofs from houses. It's tearing down churches. It's flinging debris through deserted streets in Antigua. It's hitting Antigua head-on, threatening a string of other Caribbean islands, one of which I'm heard on. Actually, I'm heard on the majority. You know what? We should leave a line open for the Caribbean. I wonder if they've got telephone service or if it's already off. Are you guys in St. Thomas okay? Are you going to be okay? Are you preparing for the worst? Jose at 100 miles an hour. The Prime Minister, acting Prime Minister actually, Sam Conder, told the people of St. Kitts and Nevis to prepare for the worst. Forecasters think that Jose is going to swing north and probably miss the U.S. We'll see. In the meantime, I've got a lot of listeners, of course, in the Caribbean. And if you would like to call me, why don't you use the wild card line let's hold that open a little bit for people down in the U.S. Virgin Islands who can hear my voice, and that would be a lot of you. I believe they start with the first hour. They may start with the second hour. I don't remember anymore. So, the wildcard line, area code 702-727-1295. We devote to anybody in the Caribbean. So you can let us know what's going on. And by the way, as always, I should mention that if you would like to see this radio program, what a thrill, huh? It's like watching grass grow. Seeing a radio program. I am but a talking head. And nevertheless, many people find it intriguing to see the person behind the voice on the radio. You can do it. It is kind of fun, actually, because you get to hear it as well. And the audio quality is very, very good, actually. All you do is go to my website, download the G2 player. It's free. Absolutely. Now, there is a version you can pay for, but this one, it's free. So you download it. If you want more bells and whistles, then you can buy one. But otherwise, the free version will do you just fine. Put it into your computer. Come back to my website. On the left-hand side, you'll see streaming video. Click on that. Follow the yellow brick road, and you will be seeing and hearing me on your computer monitor very quickly indeed. Louisiana Republicans have changed the date of their 2000 presidential caucuses to January 15th, 9 days before Iowa's traditionally first in the nation caucuses. Iowa is going to be pissed. And Louisiana officials threatened to change the date again, even to as early as New Year's Day, in the unlikely event that Iowa should get ticked off and reschedule its caucuses. So I guess everybody wants to be first, and Louisiana is determined to be first, even if they have to make it tomorrow, so to speak. There is some pretty serious health news floating about. Meningitis warnings. They're recommending colleges, U.S. colleges, make meningitis vaccines readily available, and they warn students of the risks of the disease. CDC did stop short of recommending that all college students be vaccinated. Said they didn't go further in recommendations because current meningitis vaccines are no more than 90% effective and don't work on all strains. So, that sounds serious, huh? And so does this. Monterrey, Mexico. Dengue fever has swept across northern Mexico near the Texas border. It has killed at least 7 people and making thousands of others ill. About 5,500 people in Nuevo León have been diagnosed now with a painful mosquito-borne disease this month alone. Of those, about 150 have come down with a serious, sometimes deadly form known as hemorrhagic dengue. Now, that's the bad one. That's the hemorrhagic means you bleed out. Remember the stories about Ebola and how people die with Ebola? Well, dengue fever will do that to you, too, and it's right, it's coming across the border. Now, let's see. Hurricanes destroying everything in their path, tornadoes with winds never before seen, environmental degradation, ice caps melting, earthquakes, 7 magnitude and better all over the place. And on and on and on the list goes. I would remind many of you out there that I wrote of this some years ago in a book you can still get called The Quickening. And actually, as you read that book, you will realize we are precisely now in the middle of everything described in that book. Now, there are yet a few things in that book that we have yet to experience, but most of them are well underway. And that was, I don't want to say predicted by me, but written about by me several years ago, The Quickening. If you get an opportunity to grab hold of a copy, I think you will find it interesting to read what was written several years ago. We'll be right back. All right, secret societies and hurricanes in the Caribbean coming up shortly. And then whatever else you want to talk about is fair game, too. So open line, so anything is okay. But I really do want secret societies. We've never openly discussed this on the radio, never. This is your opportunity tonight if you are a member of one, or maybe somebody in your immediate family has blabbed to you. And if you don't think they'll kill you, you can call us and tell us about it. This is kind of an interesting facts from one of my listeners. Art, scientists have successfully built a device that can send light into the future, which is sort of a crude time machine. When they figure out how to reverse that device and send a light beam back in time, then they will send a Morse code type of signal relaying technology and news that has not yet taken place. Oh, well, that would be brilliant if we managed to get a signal across time toward what was. What a brilliant move. Scientists plan to send a Morse code message back in time. Have they ever heard of the word paradox? So I can just see some idiot there tapping out a Morse code message about how to construct a time machine to fling something into the future. And about three quarters of the way through, the Morse code sender and all the rest of us suddenly blink out. Finally got a paradox put together. Right. The United States, according to United Press International, is 25 to 30 years behind now in the development of vaccines against biological weapons and must dramatically alter its approach if it is ever to catch up. A UPI reported Ken Auerbach, former deputy director of the Soviet Civilian Biological Weapons Program. He said, quote, I didn't want to say this, but we have a problem developing protection against biological weapons. Now we have a very significant gap between our defense and what can be used, that is used offensively against us. He had been one of the CIA's top sources of information on the Russian biological weapons program since its detection in 1992. He said the Soviet Union developed at least 100 strains of disease for use in weapons, but the U.S. is still developing antidotes for those developed back in the 1970s. Developing single vaccines for each strain is called an unworkable solution. Instead, he's recommending a novel approach, directing research toward strengthening the human immune system to resist all viruses rather than just inoculating against a few. In other words, he's basically saying it's impossible. They have too many, and if they let them loose, you're not going to be able to stop them, and the best thing you can have is a good, strong immune system. Otherwise, well, the alternative is obvious. Somebody sent me the history of masonry, otherwise known as the doctors who wear the aprons. In medieval times, masonry was also known as the brotherhood or the craft. Freemasonry evolved from the craft guilds of stonemasons, hence the name. In 1717, so you can see these societies have been around a long time, the foundation of the United Grand Lodge of the Ancient Free and Accepted Masons of England, the oldest body in masonry, arrives in 1733. The first American Lodge was established in Boston. In 1791, the first performance of Mozart's opera, The Magic Flute, outrages Vienna's Freemasons by allegedly revealing some of their secrets. In 1888, Jack the Ripper murders five prostitutes in the East End of London. In his book, The Brotherhood of Granada, 1983, Stephen Knight claimed the killings were committed by three Freemasons in order to prevent the prostitutes revealing the fact that Prince Edward had secretly married and fathered a child by a Roman Catholic commoner. Oh, could it be true? In 1952, Prince Philip joins the Navy Lodge 2612. He was a reluctant Mason and had to be persuaded to join by George VI. In 1967, in a ceremony at the Royal Albert Hall, in order to mark the 250th anniversary of the Grand Lodge, the Duke of Kent is installed as Grand Master. See, these secret societies have secret grand names, too, like Grand Master. In 1982, God's banker, Roberto Calvi, a leading Mason, is found hanged beneath Blackfriars Bridge in London. Oh, my. What do you think that happened? Some famous Masons you may not have known about. Mozart, Boswell, Oscar Wilde, Franklin Roosevelt, Ernest Borgnine, Buzz Aldrin. The Masonic symbols include square, compass, plumb line, and level white leather aprons. Ritual colors of blue and gold. So there you have a brief history of what little we know about Masons. But you see, it's not just the Masons. It's an entire range of secret societies, some of them that would make the Masons look like pikers, by, you know, in comparison. And why is that? I'll tell you why. Because we don't know about them, because they're a secret. Where can you find out about them? Only here, and only tonight. So, if you belong to a secret order of some kind, and you want to tell us, or tantalize us with just a little of the information about your organization, its goals, its desires, its passions, its rituals, then this is your night. Tomorrow may not be your day, but this is your night. Secret societies. Come on. We're ready for you. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Far, we've been traveling far. Without a home, not without a star. Thank you.
take a ride? Well, call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
Good morning, everybody. It's basically open lines on the toll-free lines. That's how we're going to operate tonight for a little while. The first-time caller line is reserved away for anybody in a secret society ready to blab. Now, yes, there are going to be a lot of strange people that are going to come along, and you're going to hear some strange stories that may, in fact, not be at all believable. But you've got to bear in mind that if you don't listen before this night is over, you may miss the real thing.
I feel a warmth in my heart and my soul that I never knew.
Me too. All warm and fuzzy about doing this show.
This love affair gives me strength that I need just to get me through.
I'll bet they'll rip me off the air. Anyway, secret societies. And then on the wild card line... Well, let me first say, secret society members at area code 702-727-1222. Nothing but. Now, on the wild card line, I realize I'm taking a shot in the dark here because Hurricane Jose is already over the Caribbean, ravaging across Antigua at the moment. But if you can hear us in St. Thomas... in the Caribbean, I would sure like a call from you. So I'll reserve that line away. Area code 702-727. Oh, I'm giving the wrong area code. Damn it, anyway. They changed our area code here, and so I sit here like Pavlov's dog reading the old area code. Let me change that, all right? It's area code 775. 727-1222. You know, I better fix this right now. It's ridiculous to be giving out a stupid old area code that only people in Las Vegas have. We have the exclusive 775. What about here? 775. There. So, Joe, I guess I'm going to have to do this all over again, huh, since I gave out the wrong damn number. Here it is. Secret Society members at area code 775-727-1222. Callers exclusively from the Caribbean area threatened by Jose may call, and we're holding the line open for you at area code 775-727-1295. 775-727-1295. And then the east and west of the Rockies line there for everybody else. Toll free, anything goes, open line, talk radio. That is what is directly ahead. Just one little item before we begin. This is the only time I'm ever going to say this, so you better listen closely. When I die, I am going to do what Houdini did not do. I am going to come back and supply you with proof of the afterlife. Now, the only question I have in my mind is what would be the most appropriate way to do this? That's right. That's what you heard what I said. When I die, I'm coming back in some form, in some way, to supply you all with proof of the afterlife. And or my absence, of course, I guess, suppose the opposite. That's what I'm going to do. I'm coming back. All I need is a few suggestions about where I should show my ghostly face to attempt to prove all this to you. All right, well, let's go to the Caribbean and to St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands. That's where you are, huh?
Yes, that's correct.
WSTA?
WSTA 1340.
That's right. That's how to plug your affiliate while they're still in the air. Well, all right. Listen, what's going on down there?
Well, right now it's real quiet. I mean, it's almost eerie. I guess it's the calm before the storm, but there's nothing going on. We're just waiting it out. the next few hours will tell the story, whether it's going to go north as predicted or whether we're going to catch the eye over St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Antigua, getting the hellpound out of it right now.
That's what I'm hearing, some roofs gone.
Yeah.
They're dealing with it pretty well. We're kind of used to it out here. But
Would you say used to it or fed up with it or the whole hum about it? Or, you know, how do you feel about it now? Well, there's been so much. I mean,
the way I look at it, it's the price you pay for living in paradise. I mean, it actually is paradise all the other times of the year, so there's a price to pay come hurricane season. We've been spared a lot of them, but every once in a while we get our share.
Well, maybe she figures you've been having too much fun.
That's possible. That's possible.
How far away is this sucker from you now?
Well, they're predicting it's about 100 miles, a little over 100 miles. It's over St. Martin from what I've heard last.
St. Martin.
And, the eyes, on the projected path, the eye's going to come about 40 miles from us.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, the interesting part is most of the storms are to the north and the east. So the south and the west part of it, it's not too bad. I mean, it's not a perfect circle with the eye in the center.
Right.
So it's going to be close one way or the other, but it looks like we're the local forecasters are saying we're probably in pretty good shape, but if it turns to the left, it could be trouble.
Yeah, all it needs to do is wobble a little bit, I guess, huh?
Exactly.
Is St. Thomas battening down the hatches?
That's true.
That you are?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's boarded up. I'm sitting inside all boarded up on every window. And you do what you best you can and just wait it out. See what the cards are dealt.
I really want to come and visit my affiliate.
We'd love to have you here.
I really love following here. Yeah, I'd love to come down there, and I'm going to do it. I'm not sure when. It's like carving out the time is nearly impossible. But I'm going to come down. In the meanwhile, I wish you all well there, and I'm glad that WSTA is on the air. I wonder if they're going to be breaking in with emergency announcements.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Okay.
Yeah, they generally do.
All right. Well, hang in there. Are you going to stay awake?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to stay awake and wait it out. I want to see what's going on. It's, you know, just wait for the wind to pick up.
You're on what, Eastern time?
Yeah, it's during daylight savings time. We're on the same time as New York, but we don't recognize daylight savings.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't either if I didn't have to. Thank you so much.
Come down and see us. We love your show.
All right, my friend. Thank you. I don't recognize it either. Oh, there's St. Thomas. The calm, he says, before the storm. Well, that's good. That means they can get through to us. 40 miles, I wouldn't be so comfortable about 40 miles at all. I mean, look at NASA. They missed by how much? First time caller line, you're on the air. Actually, no, my secret society line.
Yep, that's me.
you're in a secret society, huh?
Yes, I am a master mason.
You are a master mason. Now, how does that differ from a 33 degree?
Well, let's talk about that real quick. First of all, I want to tell you about all the
because I don't know anything about masonry.
Okay,
I mean nothing.
Let me tell you about what people consider levels. Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, well, first of all, let's start with the youth organizations. They're Masonic Temple support what's called Job's Daughters.
This is where they train the youth to receive the sacred secrets, right?
I don't know. I wouldn't say train, as it makes it sound like Hitler Youth. It isn't
anything like that.
But, yeah, there's Rainbow for Girls, Job's Daughters, and then DeMolay. And first off, I'd like to say probably the most famous Mason was George Washington.
George Washington.
George Washington was a Mason.
Mm-hmm.
As for DeMolay, which is before you become a Mason, DeMolay is up to the age, I think, of 21, and then at the age of 21 you can become a Mason.
But what about Mozart and Franklin Roosevelt? These are not trivial Masons.
No, not by any means either. But as a DeMolay, Bill Clinton was a DeMolay.
Ah!
Yeah.
I thought so. All right, so...
I don't know if he's a Mason, but he was in DeMolay. At least that's what I... it had came out.
Well, I'd always heard once a Mason, always a Mason.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Ah, it is true then. And the handshake, sir?
Well, no, that isn't true, because for...
You mean Masons can be...
Yes. For instance, we pay dues to our lodge. Yeah. If you don't pay your dues, then basically they just suspend your membership. You're no longer a member. And that's happened for a couple people in our lives.
Yeah, but you know, you're once a Marine, always a Marine. Semper Fi, right?
Yeah, but as for...
So you couldn't really be a poverty-stricken Mason.
Well, yeah, you could be...
Well, I mean, you couldn't pay your dues.
Well, that's not always true, because for people we find... A lot of Masons who are older don't have the money to do that, and the lodge will go through and pay the dues for them. And that happens quite
often.
Well,
there are some out there who would think that that's being done, so, you know, they won't talk.
No, nothing like that. In fact, most of all the secrets of Masonry, to the chagrin of a lot of Masons, have come out in books and even on TV. All the secrets are out.
Let's qualify it. You said you're a master Mason.
Uh-huh.
How does that compare to a 30? There is a 33 degree Mason, right?
Before I get into that, let's go into the levels. Okay, what people call levels, there really aren't levels. There is and there isn't. Okay. I'm a
typical
master
secret society answer.
Okay. I am a master mason, and being a master mason, that allows me to join, say, the Scottish Rite, the York Rite, or Sesostris, or the Shrine. And a lot of people know about the Sesostris. They wear the funny fezzes. They're always in the parade.
Feathers?
They also have the burn hospital.
What do the feathers mean?
The feathers.
Yeah, feathers.
What feathers?
You just said feathers in parade.
Fezzes.
What?
The fezzes, the red cap, like in Egypt.
Oh, yes.
The fezzes.
Okay,
not
I'm sorry.
Feathers.
Feathers.
I'm not a member of the Shrine. I'm not a member of Josh Rider or the York Rite, so I won't comment on that.
All right. We are limited on time here, so what I really need to know is how far are you from being what the American public thinks of as a 33-degree Mason?
Oh, very far. The 33rd degree is a ceremonial degree.
Yeah, all right. So now see,
it's not.
But see, here's where I've got to stop you. When you say most of the Masonic secrets are known, you know, in books or literature or whatever, I say to you, how could you possibly know? Because everybody thinks that when you get to be a 33 degree, then you get information that nobody else has. Nobody.
Oh, that isn't true at all.
How can you possibly know that? I mean, you can say it.
I've talked to you. First of all, 33rd degree Mason is part of the Scottish Rite.
Yes.
It's before you can go into the Scottish Rite Shrine or the York Rite, you have to be a Master Mason.
Yes.
Okay. I've talked to people who are in the Scottish Rite, and I asked specifically about that because
if it's such a big secret, they're not going to tell you.
They did.
You're just not like a master sergeant.
They told me straight up.
They told you what? The truth?
Yeah.
How do you know it was the truth? Fair with me here. I mean, if there are really serious secrets, how could you possibly know it's the truth?
Because they wouldn't tell me if they couldn't. They would not tell me.
For fear of giving away the fact that there are things that are not known at your level.
There's no fear involved.
No fear.
No fear.
Well, again, I'm forced to ask you, how do you know that?
How do I know that?
Yes, because you've asked, you say.
Well, let's look at it this way. Okay, the three levels that I've gone through, right, to become a Master Mason.
Yeah.
If there was fear involved with that, they wouldn't have told me when I've asked about the other levels.
Well, but we don't, you see, the American public doesn't think the fear, as you call it, begins until you get to the higher levels of information. And then there's fear, and there's enough fear, sir, that people like you wouldn't be told a damn thing.
No. No, first of all,
I'm sorry, but you really can't know that.
Well, let me talk about the organizational structure first. Okay, you mentioned the Grand Master.
I bet it's like a pyramid.
kind of not. Kind of not? No.
What's it kind of like?
Okay. In Masonry in the United States, each state is separate. There is no national organization. There is a Grand Master for each state.
Oh, please. Now you're telling me that they're not connected in any way?
No. No, specifically not.
Now I'm really having a hard time with this. I mean, Masonry has got to have some larger total connection. It can't be absolutely individual, or the rites and the rituals and the messages and what secrets there are. And we can argue about that, I guess. But they wouldn't be passed from one to the other, so you would not have any sort of coherent organization.
There is, on the state level. The Grandmaster is to...
What state are you in?
Nebraska.
So you're telling me that the Grand Master of Nebraska doesn't talk to the Grand Master of Iowa?
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Aha!
But as for
That's organization.
How the ritual is done in Nebraska and how it's done in Iowa, it can be different. And it is different.
Yeah, but the basic tenets are roughly the same.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, well, then that implies an obvious connection between... cells. I mean,
you go into the southern states, though. You visit a lodge in the southern states, and their ritual will be not 100% completely different, but there will be differences.
Mostly you have similarities, right? And those similarities can only be if there's a connection between the various lodges, not cells.
There's the ritual they try to keep from being changed throughout the ages all the way back. But what everybody wants to talk about is the Illuminati.
Illuminati, yeah.
Yeah, that's what everybody is trying to connect Masonry to. And there's no connection to it.
No connection whatsoever, is that right?
No.
Nothing, huh?
No.
Not even so much as a whisper back and forth, huh?
I don't believe so.
All right, well, listen... I've got to go. Am I in some doubt?
Mary Hill used to hang out in Cherry Hill Park. The game she played lasted all day to way after dark. All the girls, they criticized her, but all the guys just idolized her. But Mary Hill was turning to him after dark in Cherry Hill Park. Mary Hill loved to ride on the merry-go-round. All the guys got eager eyes watching merry-go-round.
Call Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Remember Mary Hill?
Then one day, Mary Gill, she married away. A man with money said, come on, honey, and she said, okay.
A rich mason, no doubt.
She went away to play a one-man game.
Ah, well. Good morning, everyone. We are doing several things at once here. We are reserving away one line. Let me give you that number for people in secret societies. Now, obviously, we're going to hear from Masons, I know, and maybe the Illuminati. But, you know, what I'm really anxious to hear about are some of the secret societies that are so secret that we don't know about them. The secret order of, that kind of thing. So, if you feel like you can talk about it and live through the experience, then call me on the special secret society line. Area code 775-727. Now, the other line I'm holding open is for the Caribbean, people in St. Thomas and so forth, because Hurricane Jose is bearing down on you. My last caller in the Caribbean, St. Thomas, said it may pass 40 miles north. It's got 100-mile-per-hour winds. So they're battening down the hatches in the Caribbean, so I'm sort of talking to people there. The toll-free lines are open for anything you want to talk about all night long, open lines, with the exception, as I just mentioned. I do want to hear about secret societies. I just had a Master Mason on here, and I don't know. He said, you know, he fed me the company line. No secrets. They're all out. They've been in books. They're all in print. And I say, well, how would you know? And he said, well, because I asked. Well, if it's such a big secret, well, obviously he's not going to be told, is he? So we kind of went round and round a little bit. Anyway, more in a moment. Well, you know, I said I wasn't going to say this more than once, but I really can't resist because I'm considering it, and I will consider all ideas, but I think I've got the answer. I said, I'm coming back. When I die, I've decided I'm coming back. I'm going to do what Houdini has not yet done. Though time may not be a factor over there, and Houdini may yet get through, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to do it. I've decided. If it's possible, I'm going to do it. The only question was, how do I do it? Do I come back and confront the President of the United States? No. Nobody believed me. His wife? No. She's already talking to Eleanor Roosevelt. So who do I... Who? What sort of unimpeachable source could report to you that I've returned? Doesn't seem like there is one. So my idea is to return to the airwaves. They're the one place you're used to hearing me anyway. So if you hear that I have expired, then you listen carefully. Search between the stations. Listen very carefully in the ether. Listen for a voice that you'd heard before, one that sounds like mine. That's the best source I can think of all of you out there. Okie dokie. On my secret society line, you are on the air, top of the morning.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. You're going to have to speak right into your phone, sir.
Okay, how's that?
That's better.
Okay.
All right, and to what secret society do you belong?
I'm a Mason.
Another Mason?
Yes.
Two Masons in a row now. We just had a guy who said he was a Master Mason, but I didn't like the way he answered my questions.
Well, I listened to him, and he's close.
Close?
Yeah, he's
but no,
close.
Close, but no cigar?
Like, no. Well.
Well, what?
First of all, a 33rd degree Mason, you asked him about that?
I did, yes.
That's a Shriner. That's the shrine.
And so you feel he didn't properly understand what a 33 degree Mason was.
If he
didn't, then he couldn't be a Mason.
Exactly. And no good Shriner.
So he was feeding me a bunch of mortar.
I think so.
Yeah, right.
I think so.
Right. Now you, on the other hand, claim to be the real McCoy.
I'm a real Master Mason, yeah.
Real Master Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
have been for
you
six years.
You think that you know all the secrets that a 33 degree would know?
No. Absolutely
see
not.
See there, folks? I knew it. And would you buy his story that, well, there are no more secrets, they're all known? And he asked, well, how do you know? He said, well, I asked some 33-degree Masons. And they said, no, there's no more secrets.
Not for a minute. No, absolutely not. Now, I'll tell you what. Yes, we do have secrets, and we do protect them. We have very few secrets, but we do have them.
Well, I knew that. Another thing he said was that Masonic temples do not talk to one, or lodges don't talk to one another.
That couldn't be further from the truth. No, absolutely not.
Guys are probably out there playing baseball games against each other.
Well, I don't know about that, but you know. Well, we communicate state to state. Absolutely.
Of course you do. So in other words, he was my bumper music was appropriate then.
Could be. Yeah.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. A Master Mason. So, you know, we're going to hear a lot as the night progresses. And, again, one of the things I want to hear about are secret societies that we don't know about, never even heard about. Now, I realize that the people calling and telling us whatever they're telling us about all this risk, you know, well, they're risking it all, actually. So you never know. I mean, you're going to hear a lot of things tonight that are probably untrue, but cast in that lot somewhere. You're just liable to get some real information now. Will you recognize it when you hear it? Only you can be the judge of that. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hi there.
Hello.
I was a member of the Rosicrucians in San Jose for 6 years.
Oh, you were?
Yes.
What are they all about?
Well, they've got some psychic strength, I'll tell you. I sent in my application form, and about the time I would guess that they received it, I was sleeping this one night, and then into my dream came this printed, letters, Rosicrucians, and it really startled me in my dream and woke me two-thirds up. And then the next night, the same thing happened again and woke me up.
So you're telling me they have the power to submit their forms to you in dreams?
Yeah, the ultimate bureaucrats, I guess, psychic bureaucrats.
Well, it saves on postage.
Yeah, and a number of funny things happened to me when I was a member of them, all of them good, but I came to realize that there was a side to them that didn't meet the eye. For example, they send you these lessons.
Lessons?
For a month. You get this package once a month, and it's got four lessons in it.
What sort of lessons?
Oh, they talk about physical principles and relate them to spiritual principles, and then they talk about psychic development exercises.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Now, I'll give you an example.
You know, that sounds a little like the craft sort of.
Oh, yeah.
Some portion of magic or the craft or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, yeah. They're wanting to develop people into healers and people with mind over matter powers.
Uh-huh.
No doubt about that.
What do you think, if they develop this power, what do you think it would be used for? And that goes more toward your earlier comment about some darker areas that you became aware of.
Well, I didn't say darker. I wouldn't say anything like that about them.
Mm.
Healing is important to them.
What did you say then? It wasn't darker. What did you say?
I said there is a side to them that didn't meet the eye. You know, there's a...
Oh, I guess I just jumped on the negative side.
Yeah.
But you're saying it's positive?
Well, I never saw anything negative when I was associated with them.
But that doesn't mean, as I told the last caller...
Yes. Right. Yes, of course. I had some interesting psychic experiences when I was working with them. I'll give you an example. There was this one lesson fairly early in the studies where they're talking about psychic energy. And I swear to God, this actually happened. They said, put down the lesson. I forget what they call these things, not mandamuses. But anyways, put down the lesson book.
Yeah.
So I just put it down at that point, and I felt waves and waves of energy coming over me at exactly the moment that I put it down. They have you working with mirrors quite a bit. You set up two candles on opposite sides of a mirror.
Mirrors and candles.
Yeah. And you look into the mirrors. Now, I never saw anything in the mirrors. I wasn't all that much, committed to doing that.
Well, that's listen, mirrors are used for a variety of things that are within the realm of the paranormal. Mirrors are used for all kinds of things, and even visiting relatives that have passed on.
Oh yes,
that's
and I went to their university down in San Jose one summer, and I met this guy there, and he told me a story. He said that that one time this fellow appeared, this male appeared in his mirror, and then when he went to the university down there, he saw this guy, and it was an elderly priest that was associated with them. And when I was down there at their university for 3 weeks, I used to do meditations in their courtyard where the ashes of their founder were interred. And I tell you, the meditations that I had in that courtyard around this man's interred ashes were something else entirely. They're qualitatively different than any other kind of meditation.
Why, pray tell, after 6 years, would you leave?
Oh, they kind of, the fellow that was in charge of it died, and a lot of people left at about that same time. I don't know what kind of shape they're in now, but they were founded by this one fellow named Lewis, and he died, and his son took over, and it was the younger Lewis that was in charge when I was a member, and then that fellow died, and a lot of people left at that point, and that was about 10 years ago.
All right. I really appreciate your input. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Art.
Take care. So there you have Rosicrucians, huh? I know very little about them. But it sounds like, if you believe, if what he said is accurate, that it sounds like they're using a lot of things that sound like magic or the craft or lean into the paranormal. Is that true of most of these organizations, I wonder? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. This is Eric from Tulsa.
Hi, Eric.
KQULL, Tulsa.
KQULL.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have three quick points I want to make.
Sure.
Okay, on the first one, you were talking about your DX contest. Probably be a good idea to have before January 1st. And then on the second point.
What are you talking about, DX contest?
You said at one time you mentioned having a DX contest, see how many people could get as many.
In other words, how many radio stations people could hear me on?
Right.
Yeah, you've got a good point. After January 1st, who knows?
You might not need it then.
Either I may be on half the number I'm on now, or none at all.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right. I better
okay.
do it soon. Yeah, okay.
And then on the second point, in West Virginia, I heard on the shortwave that in West Virginia they're having a hard time withdrawing some of their money out of the bank.
Oh?
Uh-huh.
When did you hear that?
I heard that, I think it was yesterday, on shortwave on the Genesis Network.
Uh-huh. Do you think it's true?
Well, they've mentioned it a couple times, and I also heard that some people were having a hard time withdrawing their money so they could get gold. And that's what they were having a problem with. And then,
well, when you say a hard time, does that mean when you go to the bank and you say, here, I want my money, I want X number of dollars, they simply say no?
I don't know. Maybe we ought to have people call in from West Virginia and find out.
Well,
I don't know the whole story.
That's pretty scary if it's true.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's a rumor.
Right. So I guess with all the listeners you have, you might be able to find that one out.
Well, all right. I'll see what I can do.
Okay, and one more point. Okay, I heard that on shortwave they're getting ready to move all their shortwave to sideband. Is that true, and why are they going to do that?
No, I certainly have not heard that, and I wouldn't think that they would do that. There would be some shortwave stations that might go to sideband. It would conserve band space. It would allow them to be heard at a far greater distance. But most of the casual shortwave listeners don't have the ability to hear sideband. So it's hard for me to believe the majority of shortwave broadcasters would do that. As inefficient as AM is compared to sideband, it's still a lot more pleasant to listen to. A lot more pleasant. All right. Well, let's go back to our secret society line. You are on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
I represent the First United Osirians chapter of the Followers of Horus.
Can you say that twice?
Yes.
Say it again.
I represent the First United Osirians chapter of the Followers of Horus.
Boy, that sounds pretty scary. Now, who was Horus?
Horus was the son of Osiris.
Oh, that Horus. And what can you tell us of your organization and what goals it has and what secret rituals it has? I've never heard of it, but...
Basically, it deals with the revealing of concealed information. An initiate would receive certain specific texts, and by concentration of mind,
yes,
is to unravel their mystery.
In other words, you're given certain texts, and you read these, and you concentrate, and you come up with the appropriate answers, but they are not specifically spelled out on paper.
Basically, along those lines, yes. There's three specific texts.
I mean, but what could it say? Like, who killed Kennedy? Think about it.
No, it doesn't say anything. It reveals information. Visual.
So in other words, actually reading this causes you to begin to visualize what actually occurred. Can you give me an example? Or is that not allowed?
It's rather difficult to explain.
Well, give me an example of a secret that was revealed to you.
The relationship between the ancient Egyptians and the Mayans.
You know about that?
Yes, I do.
Can you talk about it?
I can say that it's concealed within these texts.
Well, then you can't really talk about it, can you?
Well, I am talking about it.
Well, I mean, you're saying there was a relationship, but you can't give us the details of that.
No, that's for an initiate to discover on their own.
And what would happen to you if you, on my radio program tonight, gave it away, actually gave the whole thing away and told us the whole story? What would happen to you?
Nothing would happen to me. It's not the, like I said, it's based on a sharing of this knowledge, but yet...
Well, if nothing would happen, then why don't you go ahead and blab?
Well, nothing would happen.
All right, well, anyway, you're saved.
I'll give you an example.
All right, well, we're at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back.
I don't want a lonely mansion with a tear in every room. All I want to love you from is beneath the halo room.
Anybody remember this one?
But you think I should be happy with your money and your name and hide myself in sorrow.
Only in America can a guy from anywhere go to sleep a pauper and wake up a millionaire. Only in America can a kid without a cent get a break and maybe grow up to be president.
If he's in the right society.
America.
Call it crossbones thing. Somebody say from
a poor boy like me.
Small state like Arkansas.
In America.
I have no idea what I'm talking about, none whatsoever. Listen, somebody writes, not just somebody, but my board op at the Mighty WPHT in Philadelphia. Or maybe I missed it last night. Yes, you did. But I was wondering what your thoughts were on the passing of radio legend Gene Shepherd on Monday. And for years and years, he was on overnight radio on WOR in New York. My competitor in New York. I'm on WABC in New York, and he was on WOR. And we didn't really cross timelines because he retired. But very sad at the passing of an overnight radio legend, certainly. And, yes, I did have that on last night and noted the passing of Gene Shepard. We're talking about secret society. Somebody just sent me this. Secret society students face life for killing a friend in a wood. A member of a college secret society that fed on horror videos and SAS films was convicted of murder yesterday after a court was told that he and an accomplice took a fellow member to a wooded area and stabbed him, burned, and buried his dismembered body. Russell Crooks, 17 years of age, described as a dominant member of the Brotherhood, a society of four students at Hadlow Agricultural College near Tonbridge, Kent, was lured into a wood near the college at night by Neil Sayers and Graham Wallace, who then murdered him in a method I just described. And so there you have it. More of a secret society, some of them apparently rather dark in nature. All right, secret societies, hurricanes in the Caribbean, and then whatever else you want to talk about, it's all up for grabs this morning. On our secret society line, you are on the air.
Sir.
Yes.
I'm a member of the Order of the Eastern Star, which the closest thing I can liken it to is the Women's Auxiliary of the Masons. Now, you have been asking...
Now, let me get the name straight. The Order of the Eastern Star, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
The Order of the Eastern Star. Is this an all-women's organization?
No, sir.
No?
Master Masons can also join.
You mean male Master Masons?
I don't know of any other kind, sir.
Well, exactly. But what I'm saying is, so in other words, the Order of the Eastern Star then has an upper-level connection, or fairly high connection, to the Masons.
Well, you cannot be an Eastern Star in some states without a blood relative that is a Mason.
Wow, I had no idea. I never heard of this.
Well, in the state that I come from, which is New York State, that was the way it was when I joined.
I see. Well, do the Order of the Eastern Star members get much of the same information as Masons?
No, sir. We do not. We have our own rituals, our own...
You do?
Yes, sir.
Are they compatible with Masonic tradition at all?
I would assume so.
But you don't know.
Well, since I am not built quite properly to be a Master Mason, I couldn't tell you for certain.
So there's no way any woman could ever be a Mason. They don't allow women.
Not at this point in time, not that I know of. There have been rumors that way back in history there were some women that had overheard the secret rituals.
That perhaps used their wiles to get in a place where they shouldn't be.
Well, no, actually, one of the stories is that a woman the meeting was held at her house.
Oh.
And instead of...
So she, cowered in the kitchen and listened.
No, actually, she kept her ear to the living room door, and they initiated her into the order. It was either that or do something drastic, because in those days...
Oh, my God, you mean... In other words, she heard...
We're talking about in the...
She heard the secrets. In other words, she heard the secrets, whatever they were, and they were so serious that either they would have to initiate her in and make her part of it all, or...
Keep in mind, sir, in the beginning days of the Masonic orders...
Yes?
It was very, very serious.
Oh, I think it's still serious today.
They don't think it's quite as stringent, but...
Way up there, I think.
Yeah. Could I explain something to you?
Well, sure.
When an Eastern Star, or a person joins the Eastern Star, or the Masons, and I assume it's this way with most secret societies...
Yes.
In our societies, we take an obligation, which is basically giving our word, that we'll keep our mouths shut about
certain things.
Secrets. Now, first of all, the Library of Congress has a complete listing of everything that we do. And it's...
Everything?
Yeah. You can send for it and get it.
Well, then what kind of secret is that?
We are required to do this.
But that, that doesn't make
most
sense.
Most people don't know it's available.
But,
so,
well, they do now.
Like,
they do now.
Yes, sir, they do. But whether they send for it or not.
Are you high enough in the Order of the Eastern Star to really be sure that everything is in the Library of Congress?
I mean, I was told this by my father, who was a 32nd degree Mason and a Shriner.
And you don't think your dad would? No,
I wouldn't
expect
my father to lie.
Well, of course.
And he volunteered this information because I asked him the same thing you were asking, you know, how secret is it? And he said, really, it's not. But,
yeah, but that's what
we take an obligation, as do, what do they call it, an oath or an obligation? And I assume when you give your word, you mean to keep it.
That's right. Well,
you're asking these gentlemen to break their word.
Well, no, no, I'm just giving them the opportunity. I'm and giving, and that applies to you as well. I mean, if you want to blab away about the Eastern Star stuff, which you just told me is in the Library of Congress anyway, I'd love to hear it.
And the gentleman that said there's a good deal of it, of the secrets that have come out in books and that, he's quite correct. Inadvertent or advertently, a lot of books have come out by people that have been disgruntled and have basically
blabbed.
Blown the whistle, if you will. But
is there anything... Let me ask you this, all right? Here's something you can probably answer. Is there anything that, if we were aware of it, regarding the Masons or regarding the highest part of the Order of the Eastern Star, it is, that would worry us if we knew about it or concern us?
No, sir.
Or freak us out?
It's the brotherhood of man, the sisterhood of woman.
All right. Well,
to my knowledge, and I have my entire family has been Masonic, I have noticed nothing except the fact that a Mason will go to another Mason's aid quicker than they will other people.
Of course.
And that is that way with any fraternity or sorority.
Of course. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the call and the information. I'm a little... What's the right word? And not fully embracing the preceding call. And I'm not saying that I'm doubting everything she said, but I have a feeling that there's more there, and that's just me. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Hey. Where are you, sir?
I am in New Mexico.
Okay.
Badlands. Just a studier of a lot of these secret societies, because living in New Mexico, you get a lot of the government rule, and... stories being passed around by people who are involved in government. As far as the Masons are concerned, there are societies that are above them that have been holding on to the secrets of supposedly mankind and the things that have been happening to us for the last 6,000 to 8,000 years. But the highest...
Do you believe that? I mean, in your studies, do you believe there are organizations that literally know the secret of the origins of mankind?
Not only are they the secret of the origin, but where they are leading us now. I mean, it goes that far. The Brotherhood of the Snake or the Brotherhood of the Dragon.
The Brotherhood of the Snake?
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's what I haven't heard of.
Yeah, Brotherhood of the Snake or the Dragon, each one of those two.
The Dragon.
They were originally known as the Mysteries or the Brotherhood of the Mysteries or the Secrets of the Mysteries.
All right, well, let me try a couple of questions out on you. What do they consider the origins of man to be? And follow up, where are we going?
I can give you, it's very simple, and I actually stumbled upon this studying Zechariah.
You know, Zechariah? I've interviewed Zechariah any number of times.
Oh, yeah. He has put it all basically together through the cuneiform of the Sumerian writing. Now,
is Zechariah a member of one of these?
Actually, he is a member of the Jewish Society, which is another society.
But not connected to the snake or
not
dragon?
Not connected to either one of those two at all, no. Now, the Brotherhood of the Snake, the Brotherhood of the Dragon, they are the forefathers of the furthest secret society back. Then below them is the Illuminati.
So the Illuminati falls in below the Snake
actually,
and Dragon?
They do, yes. And they are like the servants of the Brotherhood of the Snake.
The Illuminati are the servants of them?
They sure are. And if you go down below that, that's the Knights of the Templar.
God, where does that leave? And the Knights of the Templar are below that?
Yes. And then the Masonic Society comes in.
Then Masons?
Yes.
Boy, then where are we?
We are way low.
Yeah. Sheesh.
Yeah, but where are we going? Let me tell you where we're going.
Please.
The Freemason, which is basically... they're kind of an offshoot of Mason. It's kind of like...
well, you make them sound like the worker bees.
But they are the worker bees.
They are the worker bees.
We are just the fun lovers that like to watch all these guys do their thing up there in high government.
So in other words, then, really, I'm getting what you would expect to get from the Masons or the sister organization, the Order of the Eastern Star, or whatever. They're all saying, look, there are no secrets. My dad told me there are no secrets that have not been revealed, blah, 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 blah. You would expect to get that, wouldn't you, if what you're saying is true?
You expect it, of course, because that's all they're going to get anyway.
Right, I gotcha.
They're not going to get any of the information. Even their fathers and people that have, if they've had 5, 10 generations down the line of the Mason, they're not going to get the information from the Knights Templar. Mm. They are just another society that they've got to rely on to keep the interest or to keep the infrastructure of their society alive.
Have you ever talked with anybody from the snake or the dragon?
I have. As a matter of fact, I have not. But I'll tell you, there are two people in this world right now that are in high government that are part of that society.
People whose names I would know?
You would know them. Yes, you would. As a matter of fact, I don't like to bring this up because there's so much religious ties to it, but Jesus Christ was a member of a society.
Which one?
He was a member of the Illuminati.
Jesus Christ was a member of the Illuminati?
He sure was. And that.
Why wouldn't he be a snake or a dragon at least?
Because he was what we would consider a don't shoot the messenger.
Well,
Paul Revere.
They did though. They crucified the messenger.
Let me tell you some secrets because I'm not a member of society and nobody knows who I am.
Lay it out. Go ahead.
Here it is. Jesus Christ was sent off by his family and the tribe that he lived in near Portico, which was a Roman Catholic controlled area of Italy. And he was sent off to the Orient to learn about other things like Buddhism, Taoism, Hinduism, and on his travels and his learnings, he found out that the Romans had taken and destroyed the Alexandria Library.
Was this in the early life of Christ before
yes.
we... Okay.
Now, of course, the fire of the Alexandria Library.
Yes.
And the Romans took all of the knowledge of the earth, and that included the origins of man. And it also included something that people never talk about.
What?
The decoding of our current Bible. There was one original Bible in the beginning. But when God, supposedly God, the gods that were here before, as Zechariah says.
Those are the gods. In other words, extraterrestrials, actually, right?
Well, whatever you want to call an extraterrestrial, somebody that's not from this earth, okay.
Well, somebody who's on a planet that has an atmosphere and life water and is not connected to any system and revolve around any sun, that would be certainly an extraterrestrial from our point of view.
Exactly. Now, and let's talk logically now and not far-fetched leap of faith. How do we learn? We learn from our parents. Our
mm-hmm.
parents learn from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
I term that genetic learning. So genetic learning had to come from somewhere. There's ought to be an origination point. So if you want to call us an offshoot of an extraterrestrial, that's what we are.
And that's one of the great secrets.
That's one of the great secrets that was stolen and kept. Now, the secrets are kept right now.
Well, if we are the descendants of extraterrestrials, as Sitchin would suggest, and you are saying, then who was Jesus Christ?
Okay, let's get into the words. Jesus of the Christ. The Christ, the word Christ, is used as the love. Or the unity. So he was the leader of the love or unity or a non-technologically advanced society, which has been proven over many, many, many...
But what about all of the things that Jesus... It is written that Jesus did that a mortal man could not do.
Hmm. You know, I listened to you talk a little bit about Houdini. Last night you talked about Houdini.
Are you saying that Jesus was nothing but a master magician?
No, I can't say that. What I can say is that he was given powers.
Well, you said Houdini.
Yes, but people, you know, if you saw Houdini perform.
Yes.
And the person that goes that saw him perform goes and tells five of his friends, did he tell them the exact same story that happened?
No, of course not.
No. So Jesus Christ, or Jesus of the Christ, or Jesus of the Unity, the leader of the love, was able to perform many, many things. He knew how to save people's lives. He knew how to create things with other. He had a.
Well, how about parting a sea? Now, that's not a trivial thing.
No, parting but that's a weather-related thing, Art.
Weather-related?
That's a weather-related anomaly.
Which sea lately has parted because of any weather that we know of?
Well, I can't really tell you, but the sea was only 6 inches tall.
Well, I wouldn't know. Even so. I mean, I saw that it was bigger than that in the Ten Commandments.
You're exactly right. I mean, listen, we could argue the semantics of what the Bible says, but what I'm trying to explain to you is just the basic order of who owns the secrets. Now, I can tell you, and I'd love to tell all your millions of listeners right now, who, and I've been waiting to tell this for I don't know how long.
Tell it.
Who owns the secrets of the world?
And it's the dragons and the snakes.
That's right. And you know who runs the dragons and the snakes?
No, I don't.
Okay, you heard of the G7.
The G7 economic?
The G7,
all right.
The heads of the G7 nations.
Yes.
Okay, you've heard of the 10 kings in the Bible.
Yes.
Okay. You can add those people into that category. And there are several smaller countries that are actual descendants of Jesus of the Christ family who are also a part of this Illuminati. You have the knowledge, but I'll tell you where the knowledge is kept.
Where?
The knowledge has been kept with the Roman Catholics this whole time in the Vatican. It's there and will always stay there and will never be penetrated.
Now that I can believe.
Yes. So, I mean, the logical aspect of this situation is,
Father,
where are we going?
The late Father Malachi Martin told me there are secrets beyond all belief hidden within the Vatican.
That's exactly right, and that's where it came from, was the Alexandria Library that was taken and destroyed, and the Roman Catholics told everybody in the whole world, or I should say the Romans, because they weren't Catholic at the time, the Romans told the whole world that in this fight that they had with Egypt, that the mysteries and the knowledge of the world and the knowledge of electricity and plumbing and engineering and everything that they had involved in the situation, and the origins of man, which was the most important part, was destroyed, which is not true.
Listen, I'm coming up on the top of the hour, so I'm going to have to go here. Do you think that there's any chance I'll hear from a snake tonight?
That's what I'm asking.
Or a dragon?
I'm asking right now, one of your listeners, if you are a snake or a dragon,
call in.
Call in, let's listen to you.
All right, sir, gotcha. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You take care. All right. This should test your memory a little bit. Don't touch that dial.
When Liberty Valance rode to town, the women folk would hide, they'd hide. When Liberty Valance walked around, the men would step aside. Because the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood. When it came to shooting straight and fast, he was mighty good. From out of the east, a stranger came.
525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find. In the year 35, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. In the year 45, gonna eat your teeth, won't meet your eyes. You won't find the thing to choose. Nobody's gonna look at you.
Better listen carefully. All this came from a secret society. Our future.
Your arms hanging in back your skull.
laid out for us.
Your legs got nothing to do. Some machine's doing that for you. In the heat, keep up, keep up. Ain't gonna meet no husband, won't meet no wife. You pick your son, pick your daughter too. From the bottom of a long black tube, whoa, whoa. Around himself and say, yes, it's time for the judgment day.
First-time callers may reach Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye at 1-775-727-1222. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Or tear it down and start again.
I rather lean toward the tearing down and starting again part. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. We're talking about secret societies. 95, 95, oh, I don't think so. I'm pretty curious right now about 2000, and it's almost here. By the way, we're working on a replacement for that noise that I'm playing for the for some stations out there who have to have it. So we're working on a silent, stealth replacement for it. Now, it'll be a little while, but we're going to get it done. We are working hard. God, I love secrets. I really love secrets. So that's what I want to hear tonight, secrets. People who are willing to blab. Maybe blab and run. I don't know. Anyway, we'll kind of intersperse that with some regular phone traffic like this. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Hi.
Masonic Lodge, what do you want to know?
Everything.
Okay, well, first of all, let me start off by saying that I am not a Mason.
Well, then how could you know everything?
Well, because in my family, it's more like who is not a Mason than who is. Like, for instance, my uncle was grandmaster over...
Yeah, but if you're not a Mason, that means you're the black... sheep.
Yeah, but, well, yeah.
And so, right. So what makes you think that even your own family would tell you anything worth anything?
They did.
How do you know?
How do you know,
for example, they didn't tell you complete BS because you weren't one of them?
Because stories that I've compared to with other people that I know that are Masons, all the stories matched.
Well, give me an example.
Okay, well, first of all, to clarify the Master Mason thing,
yeah.
First you petition a lodge, usually by a friend. You have to be recommended. Then they check your references, your background.
Mm.
Then you approved, and then you go through a ceremony, and then you're a Mason. Then you have to go. Then somebody is appointed to you.
Mm-hmm.
To go through what they call your three blue degrees.
When you're a blue Mason, you're hardly anything at all.
Well, you have to get your first three degrees to become a master Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're a master Mason, and
then you can
go on to go through the Scottish Rite.
So, all right, so then master Mason is not as high as one would think.
No, it's like the very beginning.
Yeah.
In the very beginning.
Well, that explains a lot then.
Yeah, so being a master Mason really is saying nothing.
Have you heard of the snakes and the dragons?
No, I have not until the previous caller.
Hmm.
What else do you want to know?
Well, I'm struggling with the concept that everybody in your family is a Mason but you. Why?
Let me clarify. It's not everybody. It's more like I said, to quote myself, more like who isn't than who is.
Right. Okay, so then why not you?
Well, I think it's just a bunch of just...
Oh, now, careful.
Foolishness.
Huh.
Not being ugly.
Have you told your family that you think it's foolishness?
Yeah, yes, sir.
And still you live, huh?
Yeah, and still I live, yes.
Yeah. All right, well, I appreciate the call, but I don't know if I believe... that they would tell him everything. If he wasn't part of it, if he didn't hold up his hand or do whatever it is that Masons do when they ceremonially promise not to divulge. I don't think I believe that. First time caller line, no. On Secret Society line, you're on the air.
KTX, Redding, California. Just kidding, Art. I thought I'd get your heart rate up tonight.
I see.
Oh, but I'm with a society that...
You're going to have to go to 4 or 5 octaves from there to get to raising my heart.
Well, I'm with a society. It's not the Masons. It's an offshoot called the Mystical Order of the Dequat Gerbil. And
you lion sucker, the Mystical Order of the Dequat Gerbil, my eye.
Oh, really?
I don't believe it for a second.
Well, I could tell you some things about the Masons if you want to know.
Dequat Gerbil. Dequat Gerbil. There's no such thing.
Oh, yeah. It's a rigorous process to get in.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And I'm sure a lot of your members end up in the hospital, too. Goodbye. You're out of here. Mystical Order of the Dequat Gerbil, my butt. That I should have said. International line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
God. I didn't even hit the button. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Regina, Saskatchewan.
Where there no doubt are secret societies all over the place.
Oh, of course.
And Canadians don't talk a lot about it, do they?
No.
Turn your radio off up there.
Okay.
That's important. It'd be confusing otherwise.
So.
Yes.
There's the reason I called.
Moving forward from the Mystical Order of the Declawed Gerbils.
Yeah. I was wondering if there's any other people who live in Alberta or Saskatchewan who have seen... up north and seen the weird things that I've seen.
Like what?
Oh, around Cold Lake, Alberta.
Yes.
Primrose Air Weapons Base.
Yes.
Oh, there's all kinds of interesting little lights and stuff happening.
Oh, in the sky?
You betcha.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm sure that... Is that the Canadian version of Area 51?
Yeah, 51A.
51A. That'd be 51C, probably.
Yeah.
But it really is?
Yeah.
You think they have back-engineered craft or alien craft or whatever up there?
There's got to be something.
Well, you know that your government and my government are real close.
Oh, very much in cahoots.
Yeah, cahoots, that's the right word. So I'm sure we share information at that level. Yeah, I'm sure we do. All right, well, we'll throw it out there and see if any other Canadians would like to respond. I can't imagine that we would have these things in America. And Canada would be totally unaware. We are simply too close in every way, economically, politically, to Canada, for there not to be a connection. All right, on my secret society line, you're on the air. Hello. No, you're not. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Turn your radio off, please.
Okay, not to get off the subject.
It's
is
not
it
the subject. It's open line. So only on that one line is it.
Okay. I got a question for you. When are you going to be coming to Phoenix, Arizona for your new book signing?
I am going to do only one book signing, only one, for the new book. And it has got to go to the long-promised New York City.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah, really. I mean, I've been promising New York City now for, I mean, years. So it's got to go to New York City.
And when is this new book going to be coming out?
Soon, sir, soon.
Do you have a date?
Check Amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
Yeah.
Okay. And one more thing. Have you heard anything from any of your callers calling in about seeing any green... lights in the skies in Phoenix?
You mean like fireballs?
Yeah, they're more like fireballs. I've seen them twice already, like coming home from work at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, we know what they are.
What are they?
Re-entering rocket boosters from Russia. All every single one of them, yes.
Is that right?
Yep. That's what the government says.
Wow. Okay.
Re-entering rocket boosters from Russia.
Okay, then.
Okay?
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you very much for the call. Call Colonel Haynes. He'll confirm that for me. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art Bell.
Hi.
Long time no talk.
Really?
Yeah.
How long?
Probably last time you opened up a secret agent line.
Wow. That's a long time. That's really a long time.
A long time.
Yeah.
Back before you took your hiatus.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I am now talking tonight about secret orders, secret societies, dragons, snakes, masons, Illuminati.
Let's go back to that guy that you talked to earlier. He's talking about Jesus Christ was, how did he put it, part of the Illuminati?
Yeah, he said that. And that Christ was not, as we understand, Son of God. He didn't part the seas and do all the other things described in the Bible. He didn't do that.
No, he didn't do any of that.
You agree with that?
No, I don't agree with him, but no, Christ didn't do any of that.
So you don't agree with him specifically, but you agree with him with regard to Christ?
Not exactly. Let me give you a little background. I was brought up as a missionary kid. My parents were Southern Baptist missionaries.
Yes. So what happened to you?
Huh? let's just say I was awakened.
Awakened?
Yeah.
Like the stuff under the surface of Mars or what?
No, a little bit deeper than that. Try some form of the United States government.
Mind control?
No.
Revelation, in other words, government agents took you aside
and
said, come with us, son. We're going to tell you some things.
I got very, very lucky. I was doing research on a book, and I got very, very lucky, and I traded out some information for the book.
You traded with an agent of the U.S. government?
I traded with someone who knew enough information that I did check up on.
Yes.
Someone who was also a missionary kid in Japan, worked for NSC.
Yes.
Was on the National Security Council, so I dropped a few code words on him, and he says, I don't know who the hell you're dealing with, but you better stay low, otherwise you're going to be dead.
Well, listen, speaking of dead, do you hear those clicks?
I hear those clicks.
Yeah?
I have another point.
Well, I wouldn't stand in line that long if I were you.
Huh?
Not in view of what I'm hearing here.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Uh-huh.
If they want to kill me, they would have already killed me.
fine, go right ahead.
But going back to Jesus for a second, Jesus was nothing but the greatest con artist on the face of the planet.
Oh, man. Con artist, huh?
Nothing but the greatest con artist.
So how is it he parted the sea?
I don't know. I didn't ask after that. I asked a simple point.
So in other words, you accepted that as an answer? Jesus was nothing but the greatest con artist on the face of the planet?
I asked a very, very simple, I want to know the whole truth, nothing but the truth. They said you're never going to
find help out. You as part of your membership in the NSC.
Huh?
Never mind. So he told you that, and you just bought it out of hand.
No, he didn't tell me. I just had to check with him. I asked for some terms that someone might know who was on the NSC, and they dropped two terms on me. And I mentioned them once before and emailed to you. And I asked you if you'd heard about them, and you didn't reply.
No.
I figured.
Because I haven't. Until really now.
And he says, do not dig, do not pass go, do not collect $200.
Do not dig?
He says, do not dig.
What was it? What's that supposed to mean? Do not dig where?
I don't know. He just said, do not dig. He said, if they want you dead, I'll
probably what he really said was,
you.
He probably really said, call before you dig.
No, he said, do not dig in capital letters.
All right. Well, all right. I appreciate the information, but I don't know what that means. Do not dig. We're digging all the time. Do not dig where? For what? Do not dig in for information, or do not dig into the ground at some specific location. On my secret society line, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Josh in Omaha.
Hello, Josh.
Hi. I just had a quick comment and a question.
No, this line is only for people in secret societies.
Well, the comment kind of has to do with that.
Well, no, are you or are you not in a secret society?
No, I'm not. I am
right,
aware of
some... Josh, I got to go. You
okay.
Call me on another line.
Thanks.
All right, yeah. That first-time caller line, area code 775-727-1222 is only for society members. On my secret society line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, my grandparents years ago warned me about Master Masons. I remember as a kid, my grandmother said a Master Mason would make you go blind.
If you think that I'm going to let you go any further with this one after the gerbil thing, you're out of your mind.
I'm a different guy.
Yeah, sure you are. Same story, though. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello. Goodbye. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art. How
Good
you
morning.
Doing this morning?
Well, I'm all right.
Listen, my name's Dylan. I'm calling you from Texas.
Yes.
Every time you start a show, it seems like there's always discussion about all the diseases and stuff.
Well, that's what's in the news.
Right. Okay. Recently, I got an invention, and I'm trying to get it pursued further. I got the patent on it.
Does this invention cure disease?
No, but it helps prevent them.
It helps prevent disease.
Right. Okay. What it is...
In what way?
Well, I invented the dripless toilet brush.
A dripless toilet brush?
Right. It wrings the water back off into the toilet.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to find somebody to help back my invention so I can take 10% and put them back into diseases.
What do you figure your dripless toilet brush is worth?
Well, I don't... It would manufacture out pretty cheap.
But, I mean, mass marketed to the millions who are clamoring for a dripless toilet brush. You know, and, I mean, you're trying to tempt an investor here, right?
Right.
So what do you figure is in it? Millions?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I've got a real good design on it.
Do you?
Yes. In fact, like I said, I'm the one that originally invented it, so It's a real good design.
Well, I certainly want one, but
right.
I just don't have any advice to give you. Listen, all I can say is stay tuned.
Want to know the secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, closer. Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words you long to hear. I'm in love with you. Listen.
Take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to call Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
That's the Kingdom of Nye, N-Y-E, that Nye. Good morning, everybody. We're talking about secret societies and anything else you want to talk about this night. Or put another way, we're rocking into the night in totally uncharted waters. We will be right back. Okay, Illuminati, Masons, Eastern Star people, dragons, snakes, and I'm not going to add those others. We await your call on my secret society line. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm a 32nd degree Mason.
Just one degree short of knowing the real stuff, huh?
Exactly right.
Yeah. Well,
you had some good stuff on the first 3 degrees, but after that it was kind of baloney. The next
baloney.
29 degrees you can get to in one of two ways.
Baloney, did you say?
Well, yeah, they didn't have it quite right. Once you're a master mason,
yeah,
you can petition for the next degrees. You can do that either through the York Rite or through the Scottish Rite. And once you've completed those degrees.
And out of curiosity,
yeah,
what do you think gets you accepted to these higher levels, Scottish Rite, for example?
Pay your dues.
No, there's got to be more than that.
Well, no, it's not really too much more than that. You have a petition you fill out.
Well, you can rise in the Catholic Church the same way.
Sure.
Be a Mormon, rise the same way.
Yep. Well, there's nothing special, I don't think, about the Masons. And
well, that causes me great suspicion.
Once you're at the 32nd degree, then the shrine is actually something different. You have to be a 32nd degree Mason to join the shrine. And that's kind of like the fun part of Masonry.
What's fun about it?
Oh, you know, whatever you like to do, play in a band, ride motorcycles in parades, or ride horses, fly airplanes. They have different organizations that do that.
Just all that cutesy stuff, huh?
Yeah, but they also do some not-so-cutesy stuff, like they were the first guys to come up with burn hospitals for children.
I have heard that they do good deeds of this kind, yes.
Yep. And those hospitals are open to anybody who's they don't have to pay, they don't have to be Masons.
So you're saying there's nothing dark, nothing negative, nothing secret, and all the rest of it?
Well, there's certainly stuff that's secret. I wouldn't say it's dark. To be a Mason, you have to profess a belief in a higher being, in a supreme being.
Yeah.
And in each country, they use...
Same requirements, though, for, like, the Catholic Church.
Sure. In the U.S., they would use primarily, it would be the Bible, would be the book they would use in their ritual.
Well, then they might as well be, they might as well be a religion.
I don't think so.
Huh. From the way you describe it?
Well, in times past, they provided a fair amount of relief when... That wasn't too organized in the country.
Do you think you're going to get to be a 33rd degree?
Probably not, though that's an honorary degree. Most of the people who get the 33rd were presidents or astronauts or did a lot of work for the craft, for the organization.
Well, see, all right, thank you very much. There you are, presidents or astronauts or members of the G7 or people like that. Now, I'm sorry, but I really don't buy into the fact that there are not special secrets for special degrees. And at 33, it begins to occur, doesn't it? Until we're told, and it's proven to us otherwise, it is only natural to be suspicious. Right? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello, turn your radio off first, please. No, don't change the station. Just turn it off. There you go. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
I am a longtime Eastern Star person.
Another Eastern, Order of the Eastern Star person.
You bet.
Okay.
Proud of it.
Oh.
And my mother joined the Eastern Star in 1922 and kept her membership constantly until her death in 1991. Also was very proud of the order.
And what do Eastern Star folk do?
Well... It is rather a social organization. We have very close ties to the Masonic order of the people who we are related to who are Masons. But we're no part of the Masonic order itself.
Do you think that, now I don't mean to demean the Eastern Star in any way, but do you think that the order of the Eastern Star was created by the Masons to keep, you know, your sex out of Masonic lodges?
It's possible, but it's, Masons also join the Eastern Star. The main person, of course, is a woman.
But they're pretty much just token Masons. Because
I wouldn't
it's
say that.
Well, it's mostly women, right?
Mostly women, yes.
Well, how
and
the
we've
percentage?
Been accused of being a cult.
Are you?
We are not. We encourage everybody to attend the church of their own religion. We do have five degrees or heroines of our order who are taken directly from the Bible.
Well, you see, though, a loose definition of a cult might include you because you have rituals, you have specific beliefs, you are not a gigantic. To me, a cult is just like a small religion. It's not a big religion. When you're a small religion or organization, you're always accused of being a cult. If you get big enough, then you become mainstream and you're okay.
Well, the reason I don't feel that I'm a cult is because we do not worship. We do have heroines of our order, like Ruth and Jephthah's daughter, Esther, Queen Esther, Martha. And we have one that I think they could have done a little bit better job on who represents the mother. We represent mothers, sisters, widows, wives of Master Masons.
Of Master Masons.
And the only secrets we have a ritual that's available for anybody in the world to read.
Yes.
There are a few lines in there that have reserved passwords so that we can identify ourselves to one another, should we be in need.
So, in other words, a helping hand with the right words.
Right. And the gentleman before me on there about the Scottish Rite, I thought he took it very lightly. He failed to mention that you're supposed to have good moral character even.
Well, that's what I was asking. I thought there would be some qualification other than just paying your dues.
It certainly is.
I thought so. All right, well, I appreciate the clarification. Thank you.
And also one more thing, he kind of fluffed off the first three degrees. The Blue Lodge is the basis, the foundation of everything. And like all organizations these days, the average age of our members, Masons and Eastern Star, are getting quite old. And
is there some danger, you think, that it'll all die out as the older members pass away?
Well, we are losing chapters right and left, and I'm approaching my 80th birthday. And so I am not as active as I used to be.
I certainly appreciate your call, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I love your program.
Take care. All right, well, there you have it. 80 years of age, huh? And a member of the Eastern Star. Now, I wonder if Masons would admit that the Order of the Eastern Star was created so that the women wouldn't try to knock down the doors of the lodge. Now, she alluded that certainly was a possibility. All right. On our secret society line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
I don't know if I should necessarily give my name.
Well, let's reserve your name.
Okay.
And ask you if you're a member of a secret society.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, that admits you here, sir.
Okay. I'm calling in reference to the person who was talking about the Society of the Snake.
That's right.
And the Society of the Dragon.
That's right.
And there is some information there that was completely distorted.
Distorted?
The Society of the Snake, actually the Society of the Serpent,
yes,
is from actually ancient Babylonia and ancient Samaria. It is in close ties with Roman Catholicism, but has nothing to do with the Masons or any other organization.
Well, the way he painted the snakes and the dragons was that they were at the very top or very near the top, and that Illuminati and Masons and a lot of others are below them and do their bidding. You think that was inaccurate?
Definitely. Actually, the purpose of those organizations, I can speak for the Society of the Serpent.
You can.
But I can't speak for the Society of the Dragon.
Are you a member of the Society of the Serpent?
No, I am not. I'm a member of an organization that's tied to them called the Chiru. And
The Chiru.
And this organization, the Society of the Serpent, are supposed to be individuals that protect the secrets of the church. Now, there is some accuracy in terms of coding, in terms of the Bible and religion, and some books that have not been released to the public that are locked away in the Vatican.
So I've heard, yes.
But
what is the Chiru to the dragons? In other words, what is the relationship?
The Chiru is actually an organization of people who are trained to defend in times that the church becomes, say, attacked by, I don't know, forces of evil, I guess you would say. It incorporates concepts of astral projection as well as, you know, mixed with the combative arts, martial arts.
Well, I was going to say, are we talking about spiritual warfare or physical warfare? And apparently both.
Yeah, they actually mix the two. Actually, what they are trained to do is...
So let's set up a scenario.
Okay.
Let's say that there was an individual out there that the dragons regarded as an imminent threat to the Vatican secrets. What would the Chiru do?
The Chiru are actually supposed to locate
and
the people and assassinate them.
Lights out, huh?
And that's their ultimate goal, is to protect the church, the Holy Father, and, I mean, this is at least as much as I know. I'm not at the most advanced levels.
Right.
But their ultimate goal is to protect the church and the Holy Father from, believe it or not, the Antichrist. And that time is supposed to be the ultimate battle.
While we're on the subject, there are a lot of people who think the Antichrist now lives on Earth. Do you have a view of that?
Not at this time. I mean, I have no view. I mean, there are certain signs we're there to watch for, but in terms of what I've seen... I mean,
Are you a potential assassin?
Well, supposedly, as I said, I'm not at the most advanced level, so my level of knowledge is limited.
Well, generals rarely fight the wars. They say, you know, they direct wars that are fought by people at lower levels.
Yeah. Mine started out in my early teens, and my training has extended for 15 to 16 years.
Both physical and psychic.
Well, primarily the physical, but the philosophical comes along with it.
You see, so then...
Then enhances the, I guess you would say, psychic ability.
Well, then mainly you're a grunt, or a ground troop, or an assassin, or a potential assassin.
I'm sure you've heard the expression before, a need-to-know basis.
Yes.
My savunim, or my teacher,
yes,
through this.
Yes.
Is now in another part of the world. So, and then I had another instructor along the way that carried me further. But this is just kind of the organization, the way it sets is you only know your certain portion, another person knows their certain portion.
Sure.
And then at the time, when times are right, you're called together, and then the information is shared. But this is a little interesting. I can't believe I'm actually talking about this.
I can't either. Are you liable to get in trouble?
Could be, but I have no idea. It's been a long time since I've been in contact with...
You don't want to find out, like, in the middle of the night or something?
No. But
well,
that's the philosophy behind it.
I of course, appreciate your calling, and... You really warranty to me this is the truth.
Pardon?
I said, you warranted me, warranted to me, this is the truth, what you're saying.
As far as I know it.
Well, good luck to you.
Why, thank you, sir.
Take care. Can you imagine that? Somebody who would be an assassin if ordered to do so and trained physically to do that. Do you believe this kind of thing goes on? Huh? I suspect it does. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello.
Art Bell.
Yes, yes.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
It's Terry.
Hi, Terry. Where are you?
Calling from Sherman Oaks, California.
Okay.
And we felt the earthquake here as well the other night.
Oh, it was a doozer.
Nothing like the Northridge quake, but I'm just due south of that. So, but, yeah, we felt it.
Would you turn your radio off?
Oh, I sure will. Hold on.
Thank you. I will hold while you do that. This is, please, folks, so the minute you get on the air, since we don't screen calls, you've got to turn your radio off. That's imperative.
How's that?
That's fine.
Great. Speaking of secret societies, I think people have been calling to find out whether you were going to have David Icke on again.
Well, I don't rule it out.
Yeah, have you read his latest book?
And I don't rule it in.
You don't?
Yeah, I've heard. I know a lot about David.
Yeah, and about the reptiles and everything.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Pretty out there stuff.
I know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do out there stuff.
That's true. Anyway, I'm glad you fared well with the quake.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that I fared well. All right? I survived it, but it changed my outlook on life a little bit.
Mm. In that Pahrump is now a zone.
Yeah. I mean, after all, I thought this was, you know, a relatively safe place. I had never felt an earthquake in all the years. That's a lot of years that I've lived here. And now all of a sudden, it's like, we're not safe anymore.
Yeah. Well, you said you felt them in Okinawa, in Japan. But
oh, I went through plenty of quakes there, but none of them scared me to the degree this one did. None.
Yeah. No physical damage, though, to the property or to the...
No, that says really the strange thing. You know, pictures canted on the wall, stuff jiggling along shelves. None of it fell, actually, fortunately. But I can't even begin to describe to you the strength of this quake and the length of this quake. It was horrible where I live. And if you look at a map, that's what people should do. A lot of people don't know where I live. 65 miles west of Las Vegas. And if you look at where the quake was, you will understand why we got it the way we did.
Which is why? Because what, you were directly in its line or in the waves? Or?
Well, a lot closer to it. In
right.
other words, it scared the you-know-what out of people in Vegas, and we are
right.
65 miles west of there and 8 miles from the California border.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred in the California desert, the high desert.
Right. You know, God for that. Well, I mean, maybe not for you, but for L.A., the Sherman, the Northridge quake.
Sure.
We had a water heater that blew up in our laundry room, and it was the most violent thing I think I've ever experienced.
During the Northridge quake?
Yes, in 94.
Phew.
Yeah, and three streets over, almost every building was collapsed.
Yeah, see, that's even worse. You just don't ever feel the same about things, do you?
No, you don't. I mean, they green-tagged our building, two buildings down, got a red tag, it was demolished. So you just, you know, something's watching out, you hope. For
something
you,
must be watching over us, sir. Thank
yes,
you,
sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Art.
Take care.
Night.
All right, we break right here. Secret societies and open lines all night long. This is Coast to Coast AM.
She's got something to move my soul. And she knows I love to love her. She lets me down every time. Can't make her mind. She don't want love at night. With me, she'll be so inviting. I want her all for myself.
Your door. I'll give you diamond pride. conversation will excite. Don't make you dream of me at night. Don't make you dream of me at night.
Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may recharge at area code 775-727-1222 or call the wildcard line at 775-727-1295. To talk with Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Certainly is. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. We're talking about secret societies and whatever else you want to talk about. Open lines, and we may well do exactly the same thing. Well, not exactly the same thing. Tomorrow night in the first hour, we are going to have Linda Moulton Howe here. And I'm sure you're aware, somebody has poisoned, it would appear, about 20,000 endangered birds. It's the damnedest story you've ever heard. She's got the lowdown on it tomorrow night, the first hour. After that, who knows? Chances of quitting actually would improve if I were strapped to a chair and fed intravenously. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, is this Art?
It is.
Hi, Art.
This actually is my secret society line, you know.
Well, how about this? I've been a member of the Solar Temple.
I beg your pardon?
the Solar Temple.
Solar as in sun?
Yes. Remember the Templars that in 1995 were found supposedly committing, supposedly they committed suicide in France.
Yes, and then
Canada,
in Canada.
And Switzerland.
Yes.
Well, I was...
You were a member?
I was a member of the Solar Temple, but thank God I wasn't there at that time. I was living in San Jose, California, and sort of got involved with the Solar Temple, flew to Canada about an hour out of Montreal, actually picked up at the airport by some people, and taken to an incredible house outside of Montreal, and spent 10 days with them, with Luc Jure,
yes.
Which was...
May I back you up just a little bit? What compelled you to become interested in and approach the Solar Temple?
I was invited to attend a presentation about the Templars at actually a Unity Church in San Jose. And, you know, they said they were an organization, you know, if you go all the way back to medieval times, we know who the Templars were. But they're saying that the Templars, there have been resurgences of Templar activity over the centuries, and that this Templar organization was an organization that would be helping people on Earth to kind of transform their lives, getting ready for the new millennium. In other words, doing good work, you know, good works for people and helping people kind of change their lives and do good things.
Yeah.
It was very kind of an interesting 10 days.
So that was the front. Obviously.
Now,
I mean, that was the front.
Well, apparently. And basically...
Did you, when you went to Montreal,
mm-hmm.
did you get any hint of what lay beyond?
No. I mean, they presented themselves as, you know, a very, very good organization. You know, I never got anything of this doomsday cult, nothing. There was none of that. And
see, that's why when it comes to some of these other organizations that claim to be doing nothing but good, I won't name any,
mm-hmm.
I'm frankly a little suspicious. And we all know what happened with the Solar Temple people. And,
oh, my God, absolutely.
Sure. And there was a front of doing good and helping people prepare for the new millennium, but behind it all, there was something very different.
Sure. And they did. One thing that I found very strange was that I found out that shortly before all these suicides, which I find it hard to believe people killed themselves by tying their hands behind their backs and putting paper or plastic bags over their heads. Some of them died supposedly of gunshot wounds, poisoning, whatever. But I heard that $82 million was transferred out of their coffers to Australia right before this whole thing happened, which I thought was a little weird.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, in medieval times, the Templars were the bankers.
Yeah.
And this, you know, Philip the Fair and this whatever the Pope was at the time, the Templars fell in disfavor with them, and so they started all these rumors about the Templars being homosexuals and a cult and Satan worshippers, and so they started burning them at the stake. And just to give you an idea of an odd thing, one of the first Templars was Jacques de Molay, and in the Masonic Order, the young men, the organization of young men in the Masonic Order is the de Molay.
Uh-huh.
And another thing, in the Masonic Order, one of the highest degrees is the Templar degree. And did you know that you remember the Jack the Ripper killings?
Oh, yes.
Well, they, you know, there have been talk or, you know, back in history that possibly Jack the Ripper was a Mason because...
Oh, I know. As a matter of fact, I read that at the beginning of the program.
One of the rituals, you know, one of the rituals in the Masonic Order was that disemboweling, you know, which is kind of, you know, not a real fun thing to do. But anyway, I also, you know, I've also been a Rosicrucian for many years.
Whoa.
And, yeah. And,
you really have, you're a joiner, huh?
Well, you know, I mean, if you're a seeker of higher consciousness, which is, you know, when you live in California, right now I'm in New Mexico, but, you know, I have been doing a lot of seeking and meditation, and I actually, and I know you're going to think this is very strange, but you know, I've heard of, you've heard of people channeling, right?
Oh yes.
I know. And I never ever thought that I would ever do anything like that, or half the time I didn't believe when I heard people say they were channelers.
Well, I want to say it again because I always get clobbered for this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm suspicious of channeling, and the only reason is because it's so easily faked. That doesn't mean that it's not real,
right,
that things are not channeled. But
right.
it to me, there's a lot of room for fraud.
Sure.
That's all.
Well, a few years ago, and this is kind of a funny story, I was kind of stressed out, and I decided to sort of take a jacuzzi and relax and meditate.
Right.
And I went into a deep meditation, and I started hearing text in my head.
Text?
Text. You know, it's like words coming
yes.
out.
Yes.
And I started talking out loud, and it really freaked me out. And I thought, wow, but it was really good what I was thinking, you know, what was coming out. And so I got out of the bathtub. Of course, I dried off and got dressed and sat down in front of the computer, and what came out was called a message from Mother Earth.
And so how long was it?
It's about, well, since that time I've gotten more, but this one particular message from Mother Earth is one page, and I'd really like to read it to you.
Send it to me.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And include your phone number.
Okay.
And
I'm writing a book called Handbook for Humanity, which... I've been getting, it's sort of, I guess you could say, it's like if God said, you know, you guys have been hanging out there for a long time, you've messed up a little bit, maybe I should have given you a little guidebook, here it is. So that's kind of what it is, and I'll just fax you the first few chapters of that too.
Well, no, don't do that by fax, that's too many.
My machine
will throw up after three pages and not print it out.
Well, a message from Mother Earth is only one page, so I could...
Absolutely. And if you would include your phone number with that.
Okay, and your fax number is?
Area code 775...
Oh, 775...
727...
727...
8499...
8499...
All right.
Yeah, and in my travels, I've met a lot of interesting people like Patrick Flanagan.
Uh-huh.
You know who Patrick Flanagan is?
I do, yes.
He spent some time at my house, and I know Ingo Swann. Do you know Ingo Swann?
I have not yet met Ingo, nor have I interviewed him, and I should. He's in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he was in Manhattan, so he's now in Vegas?
Or he was in Las Vegas and went to Manhattan. I'm not sure where he is right now.
Well, the last I talked to him a few months ago, he was in Manhattan.
He is considered the father of remote viewing.
Absolutely, and he sent me a copy of his book, which is called Penetration, and it's about when he remote viewed the dark side of the moon.
I'll look forward to the facts.
It's an incredible book.
I understand. Thank you.
It could ruin his reputation, but you should interview him.
I will proceed.
Okay.
Thank you. Send me, if you have any contact information for Ingo Swann, pass it on.
Will do.
All right. Take care. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. Hey. How's it going, man?
Not bad.
Good. I want to expand a little bit about the gentleman earlier concerning the secret societies.
Which ones?
Well, I've got some more societies for you.
All right.
Jason Society, the Order of the Quest, and I can tie them into...
Wait a minute. Slow down.
Okay.
Was that the Jason Society?
Uh-huh.
And the Order of what?
The Order of the Quest. The Order of the Quest?
The Order of the Quest.
Oh, yeah. And the
Sounds like a video game.
It does.
What is the Order of the Quest, out of curiosity?
The Order of the Quest and the Jason Society are the new societies that were developed between the heads of the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations.
CFR.
Mm-hmm. These are the people that are leading
us. And what Order of the Quest, what are the goals of these organizations?
They are leading us into the new Armageddon. They're leading us into an artificial Armageddon, the New World Order, the distrust of the people.
So their goal is to initiate Armageddon?
They're doing it right now, Art.
Why would they want to bring on Armageddon? That's a central question. I mean,
let me help you there. The Freemason, the 33rd degree Freemason.
Yes.
There's a split of the two. There's a 33rd degree Mason that doesn't have any idea what's going on. And then there's a 33rd degree Mason that moves on to the Knights Templar that moves forward to help with the...
Oh.
That moves forward to try to help with the...
See, now there will be people... They're going to call up, I guarantee, and they're going to say, this is so much crap.
Oh,
I know. That there are not secrets. And I've been in doubt of that and suspecting the kind of thing you're talking about right now.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying even within the 33rd degree Mason, there is a split.
There is a split, yes.
But why, going back to my first question, why would they want to bring on Armageddon?
Well, because there has to be an order. Okay, the light, okay, the Lucifer.
Yes.
The Illuminati, that was named after the Lucifer. The Luciferian Illuminati are the direct, the predecessor of the Knights Templar. They are in charge of bringing this light into our world. The light is another explosion of another star.
Wait a minute. You had me for a minute. Now you're losing me. The light, the Luciferian light,
yes.
I understand that they would bring Lucifer to reign on Earth, roughly, right?
To bring a full-time light to where our sun is shining now, there would be another star that would be shining, and we would have full-time light. This has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with a new world order, a controlling of this Earth. I can tell you the people that are involved that are doing it. People like George Bush.
Ah, George Bush.
Yeah.
George Bush. And now his son seems unstoppable.
Well, look at all the things they're bringing up against him. He's still going to be unflappable.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, Elizabeth Dole just dropped out today. I mean, it's obviously going to be Bush, Gore.
Yes, and I'll tell you this.
It's going to be the most boring damn election we've ever had.
There is. That you're exactly right. But Gore's involved. I mean, there's so many people that are involved in this deal.
I have held the view for a long time, and if it turns out to be Bush-Gore, I honestly hold the view that there's not 2 cents worth of difference in the way they will govern.
They can't do anything. They're not in control. they're just a fantastic figurehead. They're able to communicate.
I actually don't doubt that. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, somebody's on your line.
No, I had to change my phone line.
Well, that's good. Otherwise, you're in mortal danger.
No, I'm in a scrambler.
I
know better.
Yeah,
listen.
That's good. Well, you're on a scrambler, and then, of course, you're on 500 radio stations nationwide, too.
Well, that's okay. I want to get this information out to the people that need to know.
Yes, I understand.
But as far as the societies are concerned, you know why the societies were created. The societies were created because the people that were in charge, and the gentleman that was talking about the Chiru.
Yes.
The serpent guy.
You understand? You agree there is a Chiru?
Yes, and he would have already, it sounds like he's been discommunicated from that group, because he would have already been involved and higher up and would have never called in.
Well, then how could he know what he knew?
Well, he knows that the Chiru is definitely a society or a smaller society that is put in place to protect the Vatican and its knowledge. That's true. The serpent and the snake are two different societies. The snake, yes, did originate from the Sumerian Babylonian times.
The Chiru is a subset of the serpent, right?
Yes.
Or an action arm of the serpent.
Exactly. Now you've heard of, or we used to watch Shogun and all these masters of the martial arts.
Yes.
Okay, that's been around for many, many, many millennia. Those are those are some of the things that they do teach to protect the knowledge. That's for sure. Spiritual and physical.
Huh.
Being able to magically be in one place fighting and then move to another ability.
All right, listen, I am at the bottom of the hour. Can you hold on?
I would love to talk more. I need to tell you some more things.
And we need that time to trace this call, so...
please, don't do that.
Stay right there, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm kind of hung up on this song, too. And this instrument, whatever it is.
Guess there's no use in hanging around. Guess I'll get dressed and do the town. I'll find some crowded avenue. Though it will be empty without you. Can't get used to losing you no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you. Call up some girl I used to know. After I heard her say hello, couldn't think of anything.
Anybody know who's singing this? It's a trick question now. Answer is... He's the same guy who sang the song Going Into the Break. Same guy. Do you have it? That's Andy Williams.
Call Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye on the wild card line at 1-775-727-1295. That's 1-775-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Good morning, everybody. We're discussing secret societies. Some of them pretty rough and tough and tumble, and that's one of the ones we're talking about right now. Get a pen and a pencil ready for what I'm about to tell you. And here we go again. You're back on the air, sir. Thank you for waiting, and we've got your number now and your address, as well as your Social Security number and a couple of scars there on your body, too.
How did you know that? You're good, man.
Anyway,
yeah.
Getting back to the serious side here. So this really is, this Chiru is really a real thing.
It is, and I don't want to, actually, to be honest with you, I don't want to go back to early times. I mean, it's a lot of fun going to, looking at where all the secret societies originated from, but the most important part is the now day.
All right.
People that are living, I mean, I let me go over the list, just in case for all your listeners, if you've ever been, I heard the lady that was talking to you earlier about her encounters. Be careful with these people because they've got great fronts.
Talking about the Solar Temple.
I am.
Yeah.
Okay. I did speak about the Order of the Quest and the Jason Society. Now, those two, you probably won't be able to get into. Nobody really goes into those because those are people that are heads of state that really make all the decisions for this New World Order turnaround. But the Rosh Hashanah and the Kabbalah and the Knights Templar, the Knights of Malta, which is exactly what George Bush is a member of,
uh-huh.
The Knights of Columbus, the Jesuits, the Masons, the Ancient and Mystical Order of the Rosicrucians, which is actually the Rosicrucians, the Illuminati, the Nazi Party, the Communist Party, some executive members of the Council on Foreign Relations, and there's another society that's called The Group that nobody's probably ever heard of.
The Group?
The Group.
Now, I never have heard of The Group.
Mm. Have you ever seen, well, I'm not going to go into that. You might really be able to find me then. Brotherhood of the Dragon, the Rosicrucians, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Trilateral Commission, which everybody's ever heard of, the Bilderberg Group, which was originally started out this socialist totalitarianism that they're trying to get to, the Open Friendly Secret Society, which is the Vatican. The Russell Trust.
I want to read you something and
yes.
See if you agree with it. What I'm going to read to you is from the BBC News, all right?
Okay.
And
another media organization.
Okay, but October 2nd, BBC News. The headline is Death to the New World Order.
Uh-huh.
The conspiracy theory about the New World Order is not new, but it is one that everyone is taking seriously as we draw closer to the year 2000. A growing number of Americans are so convinced that the New World Order is about to take power that they are making plans to fight back, stockpiling foods, weapons, ammunition. Major Boyd is a trooper in the New Mexico militia, an armed unit of volunteers, farmers, salesmen, former police officers who are preparing to take the New World Order on. There are 19 million armed American patriots, it says here, this is the BBC, ready to take their country back.
I love the BBC. Good luck. It won't happen. I'm glad for them, but it's just a great sensationalized news story.
But you're really saying the same thing. You're just saying there's no chance.
There really isn't a chance. They've already got a foothold, or it's not going to happen. But I will say this. It's going to happen. It won't happen overnight. It's happening on a day-to-day basis. You just can't see it happen because they're very well organized. Now let me explain why. Our world, and you will see this, and so will your listeners because it's very logical. Our world, in terms of our music, our language, mm-hmm. our mathematics, our computers, everything is done on numerals. Everything is number-based.
Yep.
Now, the Vatican is in control of the largest computer in the world. And in that computer...
I thought the CIA had the biggest computer.
Where do you think the CIA is originally organized?
The Vatican?
Exactly.
I should have known.
Yeah. Anyway, that computer
yes.
Controls not only the population of our Earth and the population of the people of the first, second, and third worlds, but it also controls the finance, insurance, weather-related... accidents, anything that has to do with monetary or binary codes. Those two things are the most important part of the ways that they are going about our destruction. Now, I don't mean the destruction of the people overall.
It's like a computer even beyond the cray?
Oh, well, I would call it, you remember the HAL 9000?
Oh, yeah.
This would be the Cray 9000.
Or the Pope Plus.
Exactly.
Okay.
But what their goal is totalitarian socialism. And it's very simple. It just means that the people that are in charge of this earth right now, the 10 heads, the G7 nations, they don't trust anybody. They don't trust anybody to lead them to destroy us. In other words, the little wars that we fight with Muammar Gaddafi and
yes.
and the little heads and the guy that our government put into power originally a long time ago over there in Iraq. I don't even want to say his name because it just makes me sick. They will not even destroy Iraq. They won't go in to kill.
No, it's true.
Because there are secret relics. There are things there that they cannot destroy.
I do believe that.
Well, Zechariah talks about it.
I know. Well, no, I do believe it. I do believe it. Okay. Iraq is simply absolutely full of that kind of thing.
Oh, well, it's completely off limits because that's where Babylonia and Sumerian was originally, where they were originally started up. And but I do want to talk to the listeners just for a second about the society because it's most important to them. You watch the X-Files. I mean, everybody watches the X-Files that listens.
As a matter of fact, I'm probably going to have Chris Carter on next week.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah.
A very enlightened individual. I enjoy his work. Half the things on there are far-fetched, but some of the things on there are nowadays. And
Chris Carter deals with the edge of reality. In other words, I've been on a couple of his programs, and let me tell you that, yeah, I think I said this once before on the air, in the show that I was privileged to be on, it was about somebody who had a disease from the Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
And in the original script, they called it what it really is called, Microplasma Incognitus.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the original script they sent me. And when I got up to Canada to do the shoot, they had changed the name of the disease.
I do remember you telling that.
Yeah, it's the truth. But I mean, that's how close to the edge of reality Mr. Carter dances.
Oh, he really is. And how about the last episode of last year? Was that verbatim, word for word, Zechariah Sitchin, or what?
Yep. Listen, sir, I'm going to have to go. I've devoted a lot of time. You're a really good call, but I'm going to have to scoot. Any final words?
Yeah, final word. I would like to try to bring out a dragon. And here's how I'm going to have to, I want to bring him out. If you are a dragon, anyone who's listening, I would like to say this, that there will be an explosion. Explosion will be on a planet in our solar system. It will be caused by the people of Earth who are in control, and it will be utilized by the little space maneuvering ability of Galileo. When that happens, that's when you want to go out and start looking for your guns, start storing food and water, because Y2K is nothing but a shock test. That's all I got
to
say.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you. And I'd like to talk to a dragon, too. But I kind of doubt a dragon will call. Well, you never know. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. Oh, finally. Okay. That was a really, really hard call to follow, but...
Well...
I was... Because, you know, did you hear about today about a student out in Columbine?
About what, hon?
A student out in Columbine.
A student at Columbine?
Right. He went and made a threat that he was going to finish the job or something.
No, I didn't hear that.
Well, anyways, well, just before I heard that on today on the news in Houston, there was a deal about a 13-year-old student who was stabbed in the head with a screwdriver.
What?
A 14-year-old student stabbed a 13-year-old student in the
head
with a
screwdriver. At high school.
No, it's in middle school.
Middle school in Houston.
In Houston.
Well, I wish I could say I'm shocked, and it is shocking. It's horrible to hear about, but
yeah, I know. But on a lighter note, I guess. Whenever people were bringing about the Knights Templar.
Yes.
Did you know there's a music group that goes by that name? And I bet you can guess what one of their CDs is called.
What?
Jacques de Molay. And also, another caller a couple weeks ago brought up about Parump being mentioned on the Kid Rock video.
Yeah, Parump is on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I wonder why.
Well, I remember seeing something in the middle of the night because I was up watching TV, and he was talking about the making of the video.
There is an absolute disproportionate amount of attention paid to Parump, My Little
mm-hmm.
Town. It's crazy.
Well, he said because of the fact he's a fan of Art Bell and the X-Files and stuff like that.
Oh.
And he's even planning on maybe shooting a video in Roswell or Parump.
Or Parump. Oh, God. All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Or Parump. You know, there has been in the media, there's been way a disproportionate amount of attention paid to My Little Town. And we are a little town. I mean, we're 30,000 people, maybe. That's it. International Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. It's Mike calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening to you on 1410 CFUN.
Of course. How you doing, Mike?
Good. Yourself?
Fine.
I just wanted to make three quick comments.
All right.
First, about your book, The Quickening.
Yes.
I just wanted to put a plug in it there for the public. I went out and purchased it when it came out.
Right.
It is a well-written, thought-provoking piece of literature.
Thank you. And if people sit down and read it today, it's going to seem prophetic.
It's going to be scary, is what it is.
Yeah.
It's going to happen sooner or later, right? As I recall, you were down in Vancouver. You on a ship, like you went on a.
Well, I've been in Vancouver on a number of occasions, but yes, one of them was a tour up through the along the coast of Alaska. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How did you like it down here in Vancouver?
I think you have one of the most beautiful cities on the face of the earth.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. One final question. What operating systems do you – I know you're a computer enthusiast, right?
Oh, yes.
What operating systems do you run at home?
Well, I've got mostly Windows 95 because I don't trust 98 yet. And I've got Windows NT.
Okay. One final comment. You know, I was sitting here on my Debian Linux box here, and I thought, you know, how you'd like to go on your live cam with your T-shirts.
Another Linux slob. Snob. Just kidding.
Thinking, you know what would be really funny is to have you on your live cam there with a big Linux T-shirt with a penguin on it. I think that'd be really cool.
I noticed that people who have Linux, they've got their noses a little higher in the air.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's more you can do, more functionality.
Oh, I know.
Take care, and I'll keep listening.
All right, take
care. Okay, bye.
I'm sure my webmaster just sat straight up, said, what? I meant to say snob, not slob. Sure, most of the users are pretty neat. On my secret society line, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
It is, Art.
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Very good. All right, I was calling. I wanted to talk about what you were talking about in terms of secret societies.
Yes.
I'm a part of an order called the Mystic Nine.
The Mystic Nine?
Yes.
Okay, that's a new one.
Yeah, the Mystic Nine is an order that is really not of this or on this plane, and it was something that happened metaphysically that came to me. This order is an order that basically is from a place or a planet called Sirius. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, you've probably also heard of some music by Parliament, the group Parliament.
I'm not sure.
Okay. They talked about the Mothership Connection a long time ago in the 70s.
Right.
Okay. Well, this particular order is it's sort of like the same order. They talked about the Mothership Connection, and what they were saying basically is that at some point in time, the Mothership will come down and help raise the rest of the Mystic Nine of 144,000, which is one of the same things that Zechariah Sitchin talks about.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what I was basically calling to tell you was that it is a real order, and it actually precedes the Masonic order of today. And the ancient Sumerians, of course, were the ones who started the whole concept of the Masonic order.
How did you come to become a member of the Mystic Nine?
Well, it came about through basically having a metaphysical experience. This was an experience that I did not ask for, but it came down. And what's happening now, based on the information that I'm getting through understanding the Akashic Records and that type of thing and being able to go into that now, I'm understanding that this particular order is coming back, and we are basically reawakening. And so the Masonic order of today is still is valid. It's a valid order. However, a lot of that knowledge that they have was stolen knowledge through Napoleon and through some of the conquest of that area.
And what is the goal of the Mystic Nine?
Well, it's also a part of what is called the New World Order. Now, there are two New World Orders.
You're actually the person in the organization this last guy was complaining about, or the guy before.
He was not complaining about.
Yes, he was. He was saying that the goal is to bring on Armageddon.
Okay. Well, no, that is not the goal. The goal is basically to raise the consciousness of this planet, Mother Earth. Someone was talking about Mother Earth, or that they had some contact with Mother Earth.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Mother Earth is sick, and basically it's because of a lot of the things that we have done to Mother Earth.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
Okay, with the ecosystems and things like that. And so Mother Earth giving someone a message is not very uncommon. So what's happening now is that a lot of the originals are incarnating again, and they're incarnating on this planet to help raise the consciousness of the planet so that we can raise the vibration, because the vibration is so low that it's throwing things off in the rest of the universe. And so thus you get a lot of the problems that we have, earthquakes, tornadoes like crazy all over the world.
So in other words, we're screwing up a lot of other people's stuff or whatever.
We are. Causing a lot of problems throughout the rest of the universe, and it has to be fixed. That also
They're probably kind of fed up with us out there.
Absolutely. That also explains some of the extraterrestrials that we're beginning to see.
All right, sir. I'm out of time. Got to run. Sorry. Run like the wind. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
And now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
To reach Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0900. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Well, I was certainly wrong about what I said. It was Andy Williams and Steve Lawrence. They sound a lot alike. But I was not wrong what I said about the Lennox people. Right about that. Remember when they played this at Waco? You ever listen to the words?
You keep playing where you shouldn't be playing. And you keep thinking that you'll never get burned. Ha! I just found me a brand new box of matches, yeah. And what he knows you ain't had time to learn.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
These boots are made for walking.
And that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.
They've played that again and again on a loudspeaker system in the Waco. And when you listen to the words later, it's really shocking. Ooh, that was a smooth one. They must have known I was on board. No egos in Hollywood, right? Actually, I would like to... I think Mr. Shatner would be a fun interview. I interviewed Mr. Spock, you know, Leonard Nimoy. I suppose Mr. Shatner would be very interesting to interview as well. Yeah, I think that if we can arrange it, I got a call from Chris Carter's office today. He'd like to go on the air. And we're going to try to arrange it for someday next week, if not then the following, but soon. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
I'm interested in talking to you about the people who are Armageddonists.
Armageddonists?
Or, you know, they're into...
That's a cool new word. I like it.
Well, they're trying to bring on the Armageddon.
Right,
you know?
Right.
There's a large percentage of them that are fundamentalist Christians.
Maybe. Yeah.
Like Jerry Falwell.
Right.
I believe the world will be consumed by fire.
Actually, you know, there's another person I want to interview. It's Jerry Falwell. I'd really like to interview him.
Right. So they believe the world's going to be consumed by fire.
Right.
And they call it the rapture. And it seems kind of absurd to me, you know, to bring on this nuclear destruction.
Well, with that I agree. I'd really like to have Jerry Falwell right here and to be able to actually ask him if that is what he means. And I think he would disagree with that. He'd probably say, no, of course not. That isn't what I mean. But he is, I think, looking forward to the rapture. So there you are. He really would be an interesting person to talk to. He's made some interesting remarks about ufologists and all the rest of it, and he'd be a fascinating interview. Want to do it, Jerry? Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, yeah. Calling with the Illuminati.
Are you an Illuminati?
Uh-huh.
Person, girl, woman?
Huh?
You are?
With the Illuminati families.
The families?
It's set up...
You've got to be careful with families. That has a specific connotation here in Nevada.
Well, it's set up... You have your Council of 13, and that's the Executive Committee of the Illuminati.
Would you be an Illuminatius?
I'm not on the Council of 13.
Okay.
And then within those families, you've got the Mother of Darkness, you've got princes and priests.
Wait a minute, slow down. The Mother of Darkness?
Uh-huh.
Who is the Mother of Darkness?
Well, where it is, Hillary Clinton is up to that rank.
Hillary?
Yeah.
Hillary is the Mother of Darkness?
Up there, uh-huh.
You mean to say New York State may have the Mother of Darkness running things there?
Yeah. And then it's got a judicial branch, and that's called the Sanhedrin. That's made up of 70 people.
Okay.
And it's got a legislative branch, and that's 300 people.
Is that what people call the Committee of 300?
Mm-hmm. That's the Committee of 300.
Oh, yes.
And say if you take a family, let's take the Rockefeller family.
Okay.
Because they're an Illuminati family, and they go down for generations with John D. and the sons and the sons and the sons.
Mm.
And stuff like that. Now, sometimes they'll try to hide the bloodlines or work their power in. And the now the father of Bill Clinton we have is Lawrence Rockefeller, with the mother being Virginia Del Casey. And so Virginia Del Casey's lines go to the Russell family.
Is it hard to get an Illuminati through the eye of a needle?
They can do about anything. I don't know, you know. See, now you've got the Rockefellers running the banking system, the Chase Manhattan banking systems, a lot of the businesses, and and one of the branches that they have is the Century Club.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more where my family's been involved with the Century Club. And they'll have, like, a treasurer of Kodak or president of Xerox or something like that, or
mm-hmm.
Bausch & Lomb.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a higher up. And, you know, you've got your Council on Foreign Relations and stuff like that.
Well, we've come full circle. We started with the CFR, I think.
Uh-huh. And you've got other families. You've got the DuPont family is another Illuminati family. And they do a lot of more research. They're not as much into politics, although they do have a lot of political connections in Delaware. They do the research. They do a lot of the UFO stuff is from their family, the DuPont, and the different supplies to the military come from the DuPont family. They have the monopoly in the United States on the gunpowder.
Really?
Uh-huh. And then you have the Collins family.
Now, what is all of this moving toward?
The New World Order.
Well, what happens
to... The state and reigning.
What happens to the gunpowder in the New World Order?
It's controlled by the Illuminati. They get it. See, they can do what they want with the guns. Everybody keeps the guns, but don't have gunpowder.
Well, yeah, right. What good is a gun without bullets?
That's right.
Throw it at somebody. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And the Collins is more of a witchcraft family, the generation of witchcraft. And when you have a witch on
here's what
generational things going on. That was my grandmother and my great grandmother. Something
right.
That's been in the family.
Right, but in essence, you're part of all this.
Bloodline, more or less. You know, I've converted to Christianity, but, you know, you get a connection to it. But
the old NWO doesn't really ever get out of you.
Well, you get, but it's interesting. It's interesting how it's structured and how it operates, because it operates so secretly and it has so much power and control and stuff. And
well, you're a scary lady. I don't know how you know all this.
Now, Joe Kennedy was involved with the Illuminati, and his son's JFK. He thought he was in charge of the United States and not the Illuminati, and that is where they had their conflicts.
And so that's what did him in?
That's what did him in. And that's what did Bobby in, too. They didn't toe the line.
Mm.
See, Bill Clinton does more what they want, and so some of the other presidents will do more what they want.
What do you think about... Obviously, I mean, Bush or Gore will be the next president.
I don't know as much about Gore. I know Bush. I know that George Bush has been involved with the Skull and Crossbones. I know being in charge of the CIA. The CIA is awfully shady, and when you study that, it's quite a bit of stuff that it's involved with. And...
Well,
I've heard that they're big in the drug trade.
Yeah,
that's what I've heard.
Let me stop
the Bushes are very big in the drug trade.
Well, that's what's being, I know. That's a big, bad rumor going around. But, you know, if really so many people believe this of George Bush, senior and now to be,
right.
No doubt, in waiting, then why is he elected? Why are the Bushes elected again and again?
It has to do with the media. The media will promote who they want to promote. And see, the media is owned by people, you know. If you've got the kind of money that the Rockefellers have, you can, you know, wouldn't they buy a condo?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, the media...
So they're not going to talk trash about themselves.
All right.
I
don't feel compelled to say a damn, good thing about George Bush. George W., not at all. And I'm in the media. As a matter of fact, I think I'm in one of the largest... media companies in America right now, the largest, and they never tell me what to say. They're probably scared half to death of what I'm going to say. And I guarantee you, with the recent acquisitions of my company, or the division of my company, we're a monster of the biggest broadcaster in the world right now. And so you would think if there was going to be some control, that they'd control me, and I'm totally out of control almost all the time. So I wonder about that. People say, well, it's the media. The question was, why, if everybody knows about this, are we re-electing Bushes by the droves? Answer was the media. Well, I can't buy into that. Simply because they should have stomped on me a long time ago. Of course, you know, we've tried a few times. But not my company. International Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
I'm calling from Burnaby, B.C.
Burnaby.
I've got a good conspiracy book for people. Excuse me.
It's all right.
It's called The Holy Blood, The Holy Grail. These guys would be good guests on your show.
They would be if I knew how to contact them.
Michael Brangen, Richard Lay, and Henry Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book about Jesus.
Yes.
And that he was married, and that he might not have been crucified on the cross.
Really?
Yeah.
Then who was that then? Who was that?
Well, they say his twin brother.
His twin brother?
Yeah.
This is getting deeper by the minute here.
It's a good book.
Is it?
Yeah, it talks about that this secret has been concealed. But a lot of, like, the Vatican and that, they know it. And there's a secret society called the Pure de Sion.
It's called what?
The Pure de Sion.
Sounds French.
Yeah, it is French.
Uh-huh.
That's the secret society behind that, keeps a secret.
Wow. All right, so there is
I've got another thing to ask about, or
what?
To say.
What?
Is, you know, when you do those experiments with people?
Yes.
Why doesn't everybody just think about you quitting smoking and starting to exercise?
Well,
if everybody does that tonight, maybe you'll quit smoking. And you'll live longer and you'll be on the air longer.
How do you know?
Well,
I'm like, do you know there was a lady who passed away at 120 years of age recently, and she quit smoking, when do you think? At 118. Now, how do you account for that?
It's not a very good drug, those cigarettes.
Well,
I'm an ex-smoker myself.
Are you?
Yeah.
How long?
I quit for 2 years, and then last summer, not the last summer that just passed, but the summer before, I started for 3 months again.
Pressure?
Yeah. I had a pretty good job.
Try doing a radio program like this. I'm talking about pressure. Even though it sounds easy, you know, relaxed and all that. There's a lot of pressure.
Well, it must be.
So.
Well, you only do it 3 nights a week now. It's not
that's
too bad.
Right. It's still pressure. And there's things going on behind the scenes you don't know about. A lot of pressure. And so if you were a smoker, you know when you're pressured, when you've got stress in your life, what do?
Yeah, it must be it would make it more difficult to quit.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know,
or when you're on
everybody thought about it, it might make it easier.
Or when you're on the telephone, what do? If you're a smoker, you grab a cigarette, right?
Yeah.
After sex.
Well, you could limit yourself, not smoke, just smoke after meals.
After sex?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. After coffee? Breakfast?
You know what they should do in the States?
What?
Is they should legalize marijuana and just tax it. They can make lots of money. And, you know, sick people could get it. They could be the only ones that don't pay tax on it.
Well, actually, if they were to legalize marijuana and hemp products for all purposes, the Wall Street Journal suggested we could raise about $500 billion a year in revenue. Do you know that?
Half a trillion, that's a lot.
It's a lot of money. $500 billion. All right, sir. Thank you.
Okay, thank
you,
Art.
Thank you for the good thoughts. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening.
I'm calling from San Francisco.
Okay.
Former member of the Temple of Set.
Really? Oh, the Temple of Set. Now, I've heard of that.
Now, for those listeners out there who are not familiar with the Temple of Set, it was an offshoot splinter group of Anton LaVey's Church of Satan.
Oh, man. That's dark stuff.
Very dark, but not for the reasons that most of you would think, not for the religious reasons.
Yeah.
Closely affiliated with the government and mind control operations.
Really?
It was founded by Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino.
Yeah.
That name may sound familiar. Those of you who remember back in the 70s.
It does sound familiar to me.
He was involved in a child sexual abuse scandal at the Presidio Army Base in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
But the most important thing, well, he's also a key conductor on the Freedom Train.
Really?
And for those of you who are not in the know, the Freedom Train is parlance for the National Network of Government Mind Control Slaves.
The National Network of Government Mind Control Slaves.
Yes, the people. I will not say any names because I don't want to get you in trouble, but...
No, don't do that.
I'm not going to do that. But just so, you know, people, names that your audience are very familiar with.
Are there a lot of government control slaves out there?
I honestly have no idea how many there are.
Well, you must...
It may be, I would say, in the hundreds, at least.
And what kind of missions are they assigned? I mean, what are they out there to do?
Well, because these people suffer from what is called dissociative identity disorder or multiple personality complex, their brains are compartmentalized and they serve various functions. If you trigger them with a particular stimuli, such as a word or phrase, they can be, for example, a sex slave, which is actually very common. One of the things, the reasons that Bill Clinton's gotten in so much trouble is he's had a tendency to move outside of the sex slaves provided through these programs and go after other people, whether it be interns or married people or former associates, people who've worked for him.
Well, but a slave is supposed to be, well, I don't know,
but the most
cooperative, and Bill's slaves have not been cooperative. Look at all the trouble he's been in.
Oh, well, that's my point. These people, the ones you hear about in the media, have not been the slaves. They've been the people outside. See, Bill Clinton has been violating the rules. Most presidents keep it quiet because they limit their extramarital sexual affairs to people who are in this sex slave network. That's why you never hear about it.
Uh-huh.
But the most important thing I want to get out to your audience tonight, the most important piece of information, is that I would like to reveal the identity of the Antichrist for the new millennium.
All right, all right. Can you hold through the break here?
Absolutely. This is very important.
All right, good. Well, this is for you. And maybe a steel helmet.
At 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
Oh,
what I tell you.
The wind blows.
This one will stick in your mind and rattle around. It's really old. Old, old, old.
Jill went up the hill to get a pail of water.
There's something about it, though.
Jack fell for Jill, gave her a shove, that fell into the cradle of love. Well, rock goodbye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the wind blows.
We'll be right back. Well, gee, here's an interesting little factoid from the UK news, United Kingdom news. Judges must declare Masonic link. Judges, magistrates, and police officers will in the future have to declare whether they are Freemasons. The Home Secretary said he would ask the United Grand Lodge to publish regional lists of Freemasons who work in the criminal justice system. If it refuses to cooperate, a register will be set up which Masons will have to declare that they belong to lodges. Though the register will at first be voluntary, Mr. Straw said the government was prepared to change the law to force employees to declare their membership. The rules will also apply to Crown prosecutors, probation officers, and prison staff. All right, sir, you're back on the air.
Great, Art. Before I reveal the identity of the Antichrist, I would like to recommend a couple of books that I feel would be very instructive for your audience.
All right.
And one of them, of course, is The Biggest Secret, the book that will change the world by David Icke. That's I-C-K-E.
Yep.
And I know you had him on the show once several months ago. And
I did, yes.
You did say to him that you would have him back on when his book came out, and we're still waiting.
Well, we'll see.
I think he'd be a fabulous guest.
Mm.
Another book that your audience would benefit from is a book entitled None Dare Call It Conspiracy.
Oh, that's been around a long time.
It's a classic.
Yeah, I've read it.
What do you think of it?
Long time ago. As Stanton Friedman would say, it's in my gray box. I digested that book. I thought it was very interesting.
Are you also familiar with the book Transformation of America by Kathy O'Brien?
No.
She was a victim of government-sponsored mind control, and I believe she would make a fabulous guest.
MK Ultra, that kind of thing?
Project Monarch, MK Ultra.
Yes.
She was part of the Freedom Train.
Hmm.
She was one of these government sex slaves.
Okay, well, that sounds interesting. A government sex slave.
And she has quite a bit to say about the New World Order and many of the most famous politicians in the world.
Okay. Who is the Antichrist?
Not who you would expect.
Of course not.
It is.
Ta-da.
Ta-da, drum roll.
Yes.
It is Prince Charles of Wales.
Ah.
Can I back it up?
Oh, yeah, I know. The Antichrist and a cup of tea or whatever it is. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. Right?
That is part of it.
Yeah, I know.
I think the author presents a very strong case.
Oh, Prince Charles is hardly a compelling personality of any sort.
He has been intimately involved in four of the most widely viewed televised events in the history of the modern world.
So what?
His personal and historically unique coat of arms is a literal and graphic representation of the beast described in Revelations.
I think that's all a bunch of baloney.
His name, Charles of Wales, calculates to exactly 666 in two languages, Hebrew and English.
Also, Ronald Wilson Reagan. A lot of people have names that add up to 666.
Yes, but not using the correct Hebrew numerical values and the biblical method of sequential numbering.
There was a book, wasn't there, The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea?
I believe there was, yes.
Yeah.
And I believe the author, Tim Cohen, would be an excellent guest. Also keep in mind that the royal family of England provided the money through their bank NatWest for the company Mondex. Mondex is the company that is the preeminent company in the world developing cashless electronic money, the smart card.
Oh, we're headed that way.
But Mondex actually stands for monetary dexter, meaning money, and dexter, the right. The right is in the right hand. People will eventually have either a chimp implanted or something tattooed upon them that will be used as the mark of the beast. You will not be able to buy or sell without it.
Yeah, I know the story. All right, well, I appreciate it, but I don't buy the Prince Charles stuff, never did. The Antichrist is going to have to be a very compelling figure. I mean, very compelling. And I don't want to make a crack here, so I won't, but I just don't, I don't buy it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
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 This is Gary Bell?
Yes.
Ready to turn off the radio.
Good. Good caller.
Okay. And, yeah, I have a, yeah, I, I'm a,
Yes?
I'm a,
You're a what?
I'm a...
Yes?
Grand Dervish.
A Grand Irvish?
Dervish.
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 A Grand
in
Dervish.
In the Frisbean Society.
In the Frisbean Society.
Yes.
It's which, been,
it's
which has no relationship to the round thing that one tosses
well,
the three.
It's a offshoot of the Baba Be Happies of the 60s.
The Baba Be Happies?
Yes, of the 60s. It,
does that, have anything to do with Baba Booey?
No, no.
No, good.
The Baba Be Happies.
Baba Be
Happies. It's a, an Eastern religion that was kind of toyed with in the 60s by the hippie trail type people. And... We believe that when you die, your soul goes on the roof and you can't get it down.
Like a frisbee, right?
And the instrument on the Steve Orange song.
Yes.
It is a violin's pizzicato.
Well, it sure is well done.
Yes, I
very
really like that myself. I don't care for Steve Orange too much, but the music was done well.
It was. Thank you. And. Sure. Keep sailing.
Okay.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes? Who am I reaching here?
Well, who are you reaching?
Yeah, who am I speaking with?
What's your best guess?
Art Bell.
Bingo.
All right.
Turn your radio off.
I got through.
Turn your radio off.
Turn it off?
Turn it off.
Hold on, please.
All right. People should have them convenient and ready at their very side so that when they get on the air, they can turn it off.
All right, sorry.
All right, that's right. So.
Still there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right.
What was that?
What was what? Oh, it was my chair.
Your chair?
Yes.
Boy, if I had a chair like that, they'd throw me off the air.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
You have one with wheels, I assume. It's,
yeah, I do.
Above carpet?
I'm moving now. No, actually, you can't. It's not good on carpet. It really screws up carpet, so... My wife built me a very special floor in here.
Which, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I can wheel around on it with ease.
I cannot believe I'm speaking with you.
Well,
this is no. I
some
wanted
things
to comment
you have
about.
To. Some articles of faith that you just have to take.
I know. I've tried to get through forever, and I just never could get through. And I had, like, you know, the reason I called you is because I had a comment about. You talked to that guy from Washington State. They had the hole.
Mel's Hall, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty skeptical about that.
Uh-huh.
Because of the fact that you asked him, you said, Mel, can you provide photographs of this? And he said,
that's right.
No.
Well, no, that isn't,
right.
That isn't quite right. That's not quite right. What he said was in the first interview that he would indeed try to do that.
Uh-huh.
And when he went back, there were military people preventing him from getting back. He went in trying to get pictures.
Right. It's just that I heard all that, and he said, isn't there, you know, some cameras that you know of, you know, we have enormous technology as far as cameras go.
Yes.
There's no possible way he could ever get close enough to get a picture, because what my whole thing was on that is that you asked me, you said, can you draw us a picture? And he said, sure.
Yes.
You see, my thing with that is, anyone could do that.
That's true.
Anyone could draw a picture, and anyone could say, this is what it is. And you asked me, have you involved the media? Have you involved any...
Right. I think you have every right to be skeptical about Mel's Hole.
I was very, very, you know, I was very interested in it. You know, I heard it, I heard him discussing it on the, you know, air. And if it's true...
But what you've got to remember is,
uh-huh,
Strange Universe went up there with a television crew.
Right.
After I did that story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know that, huh?
No, I did not know that.
Yes. And one of their camera people,
uh-huh,
fell into the hole.
Yeah.
Never to be heard from again.
Never to be heard from.
The sound guy almost fell in, too.
What's that?
The sound guy almost fell in,
sound
too.
Guy?
Yeah. Well, there was a cable, and, you know, he damn near got dragged down with a camera guy.
And I heard you say that...
No, I'm kidding. They did go up there, though.
I was going to say, come on, that's a little far-fetched.
It is far-fetched. But what they did find was military boot prints all over the area and markings, military markings all over the area.
Uh-huh.
And military track vehicles all over the area where Mel's Hole is supposed to be.
Right. I kept hearing him talk about it, and then I made notes about it because he said that the whole... I can't exactly remember the measurements on the diameter and everything. If it's, like I said, if it's true, it's very interesting. And, it, you know, I hope it is. I the world needs things like that.
Why?
It needs, well, we need things that we can
gather
wonders.
Why would the world need a bottomless hole?
Why do we need a bottomless hole?
Yep.
Because some things are just one of a kind, and it makes them more mysterious. It makes them hold certain meanings to people.
Have you ever considered this, though?
What's that?
Deep within the Earth. We really don't know what's in the Earth. I mean,
uh-huh,
you hear a scientist say, well, it's an iron core. You hear a scientist say, well, it's a molten core and it's hot.
Right.
You hear people talk about the hollow Earth theory. You hear a lot of people say that there may be things that live deep within the Earth.
Uh-huh.
Life. Now they're talking about science is saying there could be life deep within the Earth.
Uh-huh.
And if you've got a hole that things can fall down... You've got a hole that things can crawl out of.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. So.
It's just, you know, and he said even if it's not a bottomless pit like, you know, he suggests, that it's the deepest hole in the world.
Well, he didn't say bottomless. He said that he ran the monofilament down X number of thousand of 7,000 feet, I think, and he found no bottom at that point. That's pretty far.
Okay, and this is another point I wanted to make. He has every constitutional right under the amendments to the military, even if it's the military.
Ha, 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 ha.
Even
excuse
if.
My laugh. I know where you're going. And,
okay, you know where I'm going with that?
Yeah, and you can't really get there.
And what I'm
if,
saying is...
In other words, if you've got something, sir,
okay,
that affects national security...
Which is a plane crash in there.
Whatever. If you have something that is so serious that it would affect national security,
uh-huh,
and you could hold the Bill of Rights up and talk about them until the cows came home, and you'd still end up in a facility somewhere.
So you do think that the military has the right anyway. Well, I know they have some rights to bend the rules a little bit, but do you think that
bend the rules?
What's that?
You say bend the rules?
Yeah, bend the rules,
mm-hmm,
which means the Constitution and the rights.
Yes.
When I heard the first, you're right, but when I heard it the first time, I was just saying to myself, if this is my property,
yep,
and I had this kind of thing on my property, and I wanted to go investigate it, it's my property, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go.
Well, they offered him a deal he couldn't refuse. They said, Mel.
So they were the private.
You essentially, you have two choices. You can lease this to us in perpetuity, or we can take it away from you. If we lease it, we'll pay you a bunch of money, and you can go down to Australia and live happily ever after. Or
they were
can,
the people that were calling the...
or we can take it away from you. And if you don't think the government can do that, let me show you what's happened here in Nevada.
What's happened?
Around Area 51.
Oh, okay.
Okay? They just annexed all kinds of land.
Mm-hmm.
They just said, that land is now ours.
Right. I don't get how that can...
So you know where that song says, this land is your land?
It's
not
bogus.
All of it. All right. So anyway, I appreciate your skeptical call.
Oh, no problem. And I love your show. Keep it up.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Rocky here in Woodbury, Minnesota.
Okay, Rocky, you're going to have to yell at us a little. You're not too loud.
Oh, I always have to yell this stupid phone. Hey, how about a Y2K update from the big Midwest?
Well, I'm kind of waiting to see if Gary North is going to come back on. He said last time he was on.
You got some great stuff, man.
You know,
embedded chips?
Yes.
I talked to the guy who personally checked all of the embedded chips.
What? How could one?
The power
how could one? Oh, you mean right where in your little area?
Well, I'm talking about Minneapolis, St. Paul here.
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy who checked the chips.
Right. Turns out that 85% of the chips didn't even have a date routine.
Well, that may well be. And of the 15% that do?
Replaced. Yeah.
That's amazing because I've heard that most power companies have done absolutely nothing.
Well, I happen to be a night janitor.
Yes.
In the corporate office of the main power company here,
You've been reading the trash, have you?
Have I ever.
Uh-huh.
We're so ready, Art. You can't hardly believe it.
So there's not even going to be like a blink of the lights there in your area.
Not a blink, no gas shutoff, no water problems, nothing. And here's the kicker.
Yeah?
They set up a network, 45 computers. They ran every piece of software that they use throughout the company.
And nothing can go wrong.
For 3 days. By the third day, now they started out with an army of people in this room. And by the third day, they had them watching videos. They were like watching movies because everything had gone so well that there was nothing to do.
So they ended up taping all their eyes open, tying them in a chair, and playing them 30-something until they couldn't handle it anymore, right?
Well, pretty much. I can't remember what they were watching, but as I walked by, along about midnight, they were watching videos because everything had gone so well with the Y2K testing.
So, you live then in a Y2K-free zone?
I believe so, unless some other thing goes wrong, like everybody goes nuts and shoots each other.
No, I don't expect that.
No, I don't either.
All right, well, listen, my friend, the show is over, and you are the lucky one to get to say goodnight. So choose
all
your
right.
words and tell everybody goodnight.
Good night, America. Peace, love, joy, all the good stuff.
And power.
And power, the
yeah.
kind that comes through the socket.
Yeah, power to, that's right, power to the people. All right, see you later. Okay, that'll do it. Linda Moulton Howe in Hour 1 tomorrow night. After that, I don't have the slightest idea. So, y'all take care now from the high desert, where we hope it won't shake anymore. Good night.